Blog Talk Radio.
Spirituality, that kind of things, and every once in a while we kind of graze across the idea on the daytime show of going across Atlantis, but we do have a tendency to cross all kinds of things, relationships, spirituality, soulmates, and if you want to get a couple questions answered, or hey, you just want to get a reading itself, we'll do a three-card pyramid spread for you, so just give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. Give us a call. Let's sit down and look at the situation. Call putting things out there. Also, I do private readings too as well. So if you want to take advantage of you, if you are a person who has not been listening or you have been listening and you're curious about how do I get a private reading with him, all you need to do is call 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835 or contact me through my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And also, we let you give you insights to our sponsor, who is Richard Palenga, who actually has a website called DivineBodyWash.com, and go check that out. Divine Body Wash, I can't even say it now. Divine, let's look at the thing again. DivineBodyWash.com. And for our listeners, he's saying that for every person who donates $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he will also give you a bottle of body mist. So go check it out, www.divinebodywash.com, and see what it's all about. If you have any questions about that, feel free to call me at 740-500-8863. If you're a person who would like to take advantage of the situation of the offer, all you got to do is go to the website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and just push the donation button and make your donation of $25 or $35. Also go to the contact page and leave your information so we know who you are, so we can actually get that body wash to you as soon as possible. If you donate $35 or more, we'll get both those bottles to you, the body wash and the body mist to you. So that's all you got to do. Also, the situation of reading and stuff like I'm doing right now, we're also putting it out there. I'm also doing group readings, which is 5 or 10 of your friends. We sit down either by Skype or in person, and each person will actually get between a 20 to 40 minute reading. And if you have a party out there that you want to do, we can also do the same thing. We can be there in person, or we can be there through Skype. Okay, so all you need to do with Skype is have a laptop on your side, I'll have a laptop on my side, we connect, have a nice table set up like you would if I was there in person, and we'll sit and do the readings anyway. We can also do all kinds of readings, palm readings, past life readings, whatever it is. And usually those things go for $150 flat fee, but right now for the month of March, they're only going for $77.77. So get in there and take care of the whole thing. Plus, with our March Madness sale, I guess you want to say our special, you can also get a 60-minute reading for only $33.33. So give us a call, 740-500-8863. Also, if you want to also sponsor the show, or maybe advertise this show, all it costs you is a $40 flat fee a month to be a sponsor for this show and to get your product to advertise and yourself promoted. So give us a call on that. My private number is 740-500-8863. I was also talking about relationships in general. And if you want to get a reading in here, guys, call us now at 646-721-9031. We were touching on things last night about Atlantis and giving everybody some insights to the situation. And if you actually looked at my show page on the show here, you'll notice that we have some pictures of underwater cities, and that's what we're actually focusing on. The ideal that when you see those pictures, to sit there and visualize in your mind of having 5 or 6 of these outposts throughout the world, not just in the Gulf of Mexico or in the Mediterranean, but a worldly influence where the Atlantis was such a huge empire itself that there's outposts everywhere. So take that into consideration, too. Also, I was reading this book by Ariel Ford called The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. And I really highly recommend this book. And if you really want to check out this book, you can also go to my website and go to the book page. And simply, if you want to purchase this book, we have links in there for you that actually connect you to Amazon.com very quickly. And you get some good deals on there, too. So, but this book here just talks about stories and that kind of stuff of how people basically focused on the list. You know, we walk around, we think about things, we focus on things. You know, basically, when we write these lists, we should be putting a lot of things into these things exactly what we want, need, and desire. And that seems like that. A lot of people keep saying their wants and needs and desires have a tendency to be focused on what the person should be, not what they want. And there is a difference between the two. There really is. Because when you're focusing on that person and what they should be, you're actually focusing on the lack of things within yourself. So you should take it back a little bit, step further, and start thinking about that. That you're actually focusing on the lack of, not focusing on your soulmate or your twin flame, and focusing on exactly what you're trying to accomplish. So those things mean taking consideration. Sit back right now, do a nice little meditation, and ask yourself, what are your wants, needs, and desires? What do you desire from your perfect mate? What do you need? And what do you desire? And then sit down and look at your list and see how much it really conveys, just those things. Because I was talking to a friend of mine one time and saying, okay, she said she's in love with this guy. I'm like, okay, what do you love about him? Well, I love the way he talks. No. I said, what do you love about him? I mean, what is the essence of that person within him? What is the one thing that just really just connects with that person? That's just a compatibility thing. But what's the one that connects with him? What's the essence of what drew you to him? Okay? Of course, it was probably a voice, but what's behind that voice? A personality, you know, and that kind of thing. What's with that? Do you see something about yourself in there, too? Think about that. But that was something going over. We actually had in the book itself a soulmate prayer. And also there was an outline, which you should do in the process of focusing on the ideal. It's like first thing you start off with is saying, okay, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? Say yes. And if you don't, the yes will come across a certain way where you'll stutter through it. The stuttering part just means that you have that's your body's telling you right there and then saying, nope, you don't really love yourself. You need to sit back and take a look at it. It's not a situation of judgmental, and it's not. It's just not. What it is, it's the ideal body's telling you a place to start. So what you do is you look at the situation, you ask yourself, do you criticize yourself? Do you sit there and say stupid things like you do something? Well, gosh, I'm stupid. What did I do that for? See, that's criticism. And your subconscious mind hears that. And it reaffirms it by manifesting more things. You're going to be sitting there telling yourself that you're stupid, okay? Okay, what you do is you stop criticizing yourself. And then you go to the next step and you forgive yourself. And you realize that you are who you are because of what's going on, that kind of stuff. If you could be any better, then you would be. But right at this moment, the reason we should appreciate and love yourself exactly for who you are, because that's who you are. And if you look at the situation, you go, okay, I love me, but I think I should shrink the parameters of my body down a little bit. See, you're making it more of, when you sit there and say, shrink it down, taking the parameters down, at that moment, you probably have an image in your mind of what you want to look like. But you have to love yourself right now in the process of having that confidence to take the next steps to actually reduce your weight. But in the process of reducing your weight, you don't focus on the 50 pounds you want to lose or whatever it is. You want to focus on where you want to be at. Remember, we talk about this in manifestation. It's the idea. Don't worry about the journey getting there. Enjoy that. Declare it to the universe and God and everybody. So this is what we want to do. And then you sit there and look at the outcome. What is the outcome? If you want to lose 50 pounds, it's the idea of calculating that up and say, okay, what would that be? If I weigh 250 pounds, you want to weigh 200 pounds. So what you do is you do like I do. I got an affirmation for that right here, which will really help you out. Let me find it very quickly. There's actually a couple of them that actually put it in details for it. I have a lot of affirmations in there, trust me on that, because I'm constantly writing. And I think we should all be constantly writing and reaffirming and just re-fine-tuning everything that we do, because we change from time to time. And it seems like we change every day, so we have to sit there and go accordingly, just like that. The one thing I would do in that book that I like the most is the idea of telling yourself every day that you are born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Say it 7 times. You, just say it to yourself, I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Emphasize on each word. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Let it resonate with you. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. I was born to be loved, cherished, and adored. Keep saying it to yourself until you like want to celebrate. All right, and then say, oh, I'm ready. I am ready, willing, and open to receive my soulmate, twin flame's love now. I believe that my soulmate, twin flame, exists. I am deserving of her, or if it's a him for you guys. I am deserving of her, and the universe is skillfully orchestrating our meeting now. You see how you put that? Now, man. Makes you kind of a shiver, doesn't it? And then you put down at the end of the whole thing from another book I got. It was called, there's another book out there. I was loving that one, too. It's called Creating True Prosperity in Your Life, which it talks about the ideal balance between giving and receiving, being and doing, structure and flow, and so on and so on, where it helps you understand. Some people are kind of confused about how do I get balance in my life, and where does it start, where does it begin, and what is in detail about exactly how to do that. So that book is really good. I think it's Shang-Chi. I want to say Gawain. Gawain? It's actually, you spell her name like this. S-H-A-K-T-I. Gawain. G-A-W-A-I-N. The book is called Creating True Prosperity. But she also has another book called, I don't have that one right here. But it's called Creative Visualization. Check that one out, too. And we're sitting here waiting for people to call in and get some readings. I really went, I'm actually ready. I've been focusing and practicing and really going deep into the situation of saying, I'm ready to do some readings. So if you want to give a call here at 646-721-9031, or if you have a question about what we're talking about today, you have just a question about relationships in general. I do relationship counseling too. We'll go ahead and answer that question for you. I'm just saying, if you focus on your visualizations of what we're talking about here, throw this one in. This or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. And then you sit there and go, I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. I am loved, I am lovable, I am love. I am loved, I am lovable, I am love, and so it is. Now that that resonates with you, and when there is great love, there are always miracles. So therefore, you look at the situation of you and yourself and everything that goes along with it, and you understand that the miracle starts within you as the idea of your connection that you have with God. And the angels, the ascended masters, the archangels, your guardian angels, your guide, your higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. So take those things, and if you want to sit there and look at the list of things or people that should be thanking, try that one, because I've always seen that my day always seems to be a whole lot more positive and focused when you do just those things. There was a prayer here for manifesting your soulmate, twin flame, and it goes like this. It says, God and all that is, in this moment I am grateful for the healing of my heart, everything that would stop me from attracting my soulmate twin flame. In this moment, I remember that my perfect right partner is magnetizing to me, and my only job is to rest in perfect awareness that my soulmate twin flame's heart is already joined with mine as I savor the waiting. And so it is. All right, so when you look at those things, forgive yourself, say a couple prayers, put it out there, clear the clutter. Focus on the situation. Let go of that ex-boyfriend that just ain't getting it. Because you got to sit and look at the situation. It says in here, you can attract every good thing to you. Is he good for you? Obviously not. And then we got to sit and look at the situation, which I liked about this book too, The Secret, The Soulmate Secret, with my Area 4, where it says, immature love says, I love you because I need you. Mature love says, I need you because I love you. And it's not like one of those believing things. Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it and release those, okay? And there's also a definition in the book. It talks about what is a soulmate. A soulmate is someone to whom we feel profoundly connected, as though the communication and commuting that take place between us were not the product of intentional efforts. It just magically fell together. But it's one of those things but by rather a divine grace has brought you two together. This kind of relationship is so important to the soul that many have said there is nothing more precious in life. So when you sit and look at the situation of connections and that kind of stuff, I think we should all be stepping back and looking at these connections and being more appreciative and more respectful, because more likely, if we are together at this moment, we both wanted it or it would have never happened. So you men out there, get your heads out of your ass, okay? Thank you. And with the situation, I quit walking around going, I don't know if I'm ready for this or not. Because, you know, if you're staring that girl right in the face, and also vice versa, if that girl's You know, if you're staring that guy in the face and you're right there and you cross paths, then the universe is just lined up for you to bring you guys together. Everything is aligned right in this, right into place for you guys. And then we sort of trace it back to the situation of what you put out there. You manifested this. So it's time to take responsibility of manifestation and realize that what you called in for, you're getting it. And this thing of jumping around and stepping around and that kind of stuff, it's just getting crazy anymore because, you know, the idea of people, I mean, the one thing I've heard before, too, people getting divorced, we're still best friends, but we couldn't live together. I think it's one of those things that they should have stepped back to the friendship and realized they had a strong foundation to work their way through that situation, that issue, and find the solution instead of focusing on the problem and saying there was no solution. Because realistically, in the situation of the relationships, one thing I've found that there's always a solution. It's just if you're going to take the strength, if you're going to get the freaking backbone, and you're going to sit there and trust the love and the connections between the two of you to actually go out and find that thing that will actually get you through that obstruction or that obstacle. I'm telling you. And that actually makes people, that puts people in a situation where the bonds between the two of them get stronger and stronger. For one human being to love another, that is perhaps the most difficult of all our tasks. The ultimate, the last test, and the proof that work for which all other work is but preparation, which means the idea of everything you've gone through, let go of it and realize it was just things, situations, opportunities for preparation for exactly to meet that one particular person that you learn so much about yourself. You learn about what you do, what you don't. You learn what you're going to deal with. You're going to learn about who you are. And when it's like learning things about yourself, so therefore you meet that soulmate. You know exactly who that person is because you know exactly who you are. It's one of those things that when you step back and look at yourself and say, okay, I need to write a list about myself, things I need to work on, that kind of stuff. Because people sit there going, working on this and this and this and this. Well, then sit there and get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's find out who you are. Because I guarantee you when you do that and you start writing your list, or if you've already written your list, and then you do this kind of work, you want to go back over that list, and you'll start noticing things that probably change, which every day or every week, I think we all should definitely go back to our list and look at it and see if it has changed. You know, a lot of people have a tendency, like when they're 18 years old, this is what I want. And then you catch the person, I've worked with a couple women who were 40 years old who still have the same list from when they were 18, not realizing that a lot of those things on that list, wants, needs, and desires, had changed. And it wasn't until they actually started focusing on themselves with their own list for them of things that they wasn't too happy with and things they wanted to change, and just finding out who they was and doing the meditations and the chakra clearing and realizing they really didn't need to change per se. They just needed to get rid of a lot of clutter that they had accumulated from 18 to the point where they're at now. Here's a wonderful thing for people who are trying to lose weight. And what first thing you should do is you should sit there and say, I'm going to. Take the tryout. And also say, can't go. That got to go too. Okay, here's a good one for you. It says, I feel wonderful and look fantastic now that I weigh 200. That's me, okay? You put your own weight in there. I feel wonderful and look fantastic now that I weigh 200 pounds, have a 33-inch waist, flat stomach, and am in great physical condition, looking and feeling and being 25 years old. Yes. Say that one to yourself every morning. I feel wonderful and look fantastic. Now that I weigh 200 pounds, have a 33-inch waist, flat stomach, and am in great physical condition, looking, feeling, and being 25 years old now. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then say, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. Because maybe you're focusing on 50 pounds, but what you're doing is you're throwing it out there and saying, well, you know, this or something better. Maybe you would be better at a different weight. And all of a sudden the universe materializes those opportunities, situations, or maybe you're in the store, you're about ready to pick up a box of Little Debbie's, and all of a sudden this voice comes and says, nope. You need to go to the freaking fruit and vegetable aisle. Or, ooh, there's a V8 Fusion drink where you can get your veggies and your fruits. Get one of those, but put the Little Debbie's back. It's the idea to start listening to your intuition, listen to your angels as they're communicating through you, your guides. Some people even, it's like we have all kinds of connections, all kinds of entities. So we got angels, archangels, ascended masters. We have God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, our higher selves, and it's just, you know, looking at those things. Because if you ever look at my journal, you will find those things in here. Okay? And more likely, the thing that would happen to you was the minute you heard your first love story, you started looking for that soulmate, that twin flame, but you started looking for them, not knowing how blind that was, not realizing that what you need to do, you need to step back and go, lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. So it's the idea of reconnecting with yourself. Maybe that's the problem why you haven't found that soulmate, that twin flame, because it's the ideal that you've lost connection with yourself. And once you reestablish that connection, just by doing a simple meditation that I've done, where it's just like, I am love, I am love, I am love, I love, I love, I love, I love, I am love, I am love, I am love, I am love, I love, I love, I love. When I love God, I love myself. When I love myself, I love God. So when you put this thing there, just say it over and over again, man, I guarantee you're going to get some shivers up your back. I am love. I love. When I love God, I love myself. When I love myself, I love God. We are one. I am the I am of the I am. So when you sit over those things, I mean, just look at it. You can do the same thing with this one affirmation by saying, like I say here, I feel wonderful, look fantastic now that I weigh 200 pounds, have a 33-inch waist, and in a great physical condition, looking and feeling of being 25 years old now. But you can also do it with relationships, too, saying, I feel wonderful and feel fantastic now that my soulmate and I are together now as a romantic, deep-loving, committed to each other couple having a wonderful, sharing, happy, fulfilling marriage and life together now. Thank you, thank you, and thank you. My romantic relationship with my soulmate is growing happier and more fulfilling every day. I now have a perfect, satisfying, it is known for career, guys. I now have a perfect, satisfying, well-paying, financially compensated career and business and shop. And radio show. Well, we get to put them all together. I now have a perfect, satisfying, well-paying career and business as a psychic medium spiritual advisor, radio show host, and shop owner. Now, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, we put this one here. My twin flame soulmate is single and has come to me easily and effortlessly. The more I love myself, the more I love my soulmate, twin flame. I love my soulmate, twin flame, and my soulmate, twin flame, loves me. All difficulties, if there's any kind of things going on, all difficulties between me and my soulmate, twin flame, who is single, are now being dissolved. We have a wonderful, romantic, deep-loving relationship, marriage now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can also use that one, too, if you have somebody that you feel like you feel like that person is your soulmate, twin flame, but you've had some difficulty between the two. All right? So take that one and figure it's it was amazing how some of these things can kick in and do all kinds of things and just keep repeating them over and over again is how you do it until you feel really positive with it. And then you're going to see some definite changes. My thing was the idea of putting things in perspective to actually put things in an unlimited way, because realistically, as we go through our life and everything goes on, we are looking for unlimited because, we want things to go beyond today. My favorite one was, I'm happy and grateful for the unlimited flow of money, clients, love, guidance, health, protection, abundance, perfect health, strength, energy, unlimited private readings every day, which come to me now. Thank you for my perfect, healthy body that looks, feels, and being 25 years old, and having the strength of 10 men, a 33-inch waist, flat stomach, being stronger and younger and healthier, having a balanced, muscular, trim body, mentally and physically. Now, this or something better now manifests for me until we satisfy in a harmonious way is for the highest good of all concerned. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think, hey, I think what happened is, I think our co-host actually is here, yes. I thought I heard a door slam. Must have been her coming down the hallway, right?
Yep.
So, AD, what's up? How are you?
I was on with Marcus this morning, so I was kind of vegging out for a bit there with Melly 66, and then she says, you want to call in? I said, okay. Just one of those days.
Just one of those days. Just one of those days. You know, he said, she said, okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's getting kind of weird in my life. Just when Tony doesn't do anything, now he's trying to heat up again. Slowly.
Yeah, I was also going to say, if anybody in the chat room has any questions, April's in the chat room, so just convey your questions and she'll give them to us, and we'll get those questions answered. And if you want to give a call in here at 646-721-9031, we'd be glad to answer your questions and do some readings for you too as well. So give a call, and if you want to get a private reading from me, just simply call 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835 or go to the website www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Right now, it's for March. We're having a great special for $33.33 for people who listen to the show. It's only going to cost you $33.33 for a 60-minute session. For a 40-minute session, $22.22. For a 20-minute session, $11.11. And if you want to take advantage and see what these one-card readings or readings are about, it's about 15 minutes. They're only $9.99 right now. And if you're a person who really wants to kick in some stuff, really, I'm telling you, if you really want to sit there and take advantage of the card readings and maybe get you some life coaching and relationship counseling and do a past life regression, those things are fantastic. You should really check those out. Because this time, they're usually going for $135, but this month, they're only going for $77.77 for the callers to call in. Because we really appreciate the callers out there, and we appreciate the people who are listening and who actually show up every freaking week and every day. We appreciate those things. So for you, a March special gets really great rates because realistically, when you go to the website, you'll notice that for a 60-minute session, that's $125. For the 90-minute sessions, they're only $135. Well worth it, okay? We put a lot of things into those things. I mean, I just throw myself completely into those readings, so therefore I guarantee you get a reading and a session from me. But I like to call them sessions anyway. Because it's just not the idea of getting the answers. I do everything I can to help you with the situation of direction, focus. So, you know, it's intense. So we look at the 60s and the 40 and the 20, and the 20-minute sessions is actually the same as the 90-minute sessions, except compacted. And we sit there, I guarantee you, when you call and schedule a reading with me, be prepared to have your socks knocked off and to have one of the best readings you've ever had. So give us a call, 740-500-8863, and get the details on those. We also do group readings, parties, and also this book, too, on specials on the parties and the group readings. They're usually $150 flat fee for 5 or 10 of your friends and parties. We don't really specify how many people on the parties, but it's usually $150 flat fee. And we guarantee at least 5 to 10 people will definitely get a 40-minute session in those things. So it's a very good price that covers everything and everyone. So you should give us a call on those things, but we also have a good special going on this month, too. We're actually trying something new, too, where we can actually be there through Skype to do parties and group readings. So whichever is more convenient for you. All you got to do is have a webcam on your side and a laptop, and we'll have one over here and set it up on a table, just like if I was there doing readings, except for people be sitting there talking to me through the laptop. We could do palm readings, past life readings, you know, everything we can do. And maybe we can even do a couple of sessions with past life regressions. It depends on the what kind of party we're talking about, okay? So those are usually a $150 flat fee, but for this month, they're only $77.77. So give us a call, 740-500-8863. And if you're a person who would like to sponsor this show, it's only a flat $40 fee a month. And if you want to advertise to the show, too, it's the same thing, $40 flat fee per month to get you and your products sponsored and promoted on this show. And we sit there and do that all at least, what, every 20 minutes or so. So on that note, we our sponsor that we do have a show for right now, that you can be a part of it too, is Richard Kalenga. He has a website out there called DivineBodyWash.com. And you should go check it out. This is a great, these are great products. They're all natural. It's a spiritual concept, and it's got a lot of spiritual energy behind it because it was actually spiritually influenced or motivated. So go check that out. Richard Kalenga, that's DivineBodyWash.com. And he's also saying for our callers and people, if they're listening, if you donate $25, he will give you a bottle of this body wash for free. If you donate $35 or more, he will give you a bottle of body wash and a bottle of body mist together. And these are great products and well worth it. So you should jump in there and check it out myself. I'm you know, give me shivers just thinking about these products and what they can do for you. So if you are a person who does take advantage and donate to the show, to get a, if you donate $25 and you get that bottle of body wash, all you got to do is go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com, push the donate button, donate your $25, go to the contact page on the same website, give us your information so we can contact you and get that bottle of body wash to you. The same thing if you want to donate $35 or more, go to the same place, donate, push the donate button, give us your information, we'll get those products out to you as quick as possible. Okay, and B, once you get the information, so how they can reach you.
Okay. You can reach me at 207-374-5072 or spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. For Yahoo Messenger, it's fairyinthemoonlight@yahoo.com, and that's F-A-E-R-Y. For MSN Messenger, it's spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. My readings are all done for donations. If you want an email reading, I suggest a donation would be $20. For a phone reading, it would be $60. So that's for an hour. For MSN or Yahoo, $20-$25, somewhere in there. I accept PayPal. I'll get back to you within 24 hours. And as far as, you know, your budget goes, I'll work with your budget because I know not everybody's going to be able to afford to spend a lot for something. But please give me a shout out somewhere, and I'll be more than happy to give you a reading anytime, and I'll be sure that I give you the best possible reading I can do. There won't be any sugarcoating. You won't hear anything that I think you want to hear. You're going to get the straight scoop because I'm a straight shooter. Call it like I see it. But I'm very caring. So hey, give me a try.
All right.
Want some jewelry? I can do that too.
Well, yeah, you should also talk about the jewelry, because I hear that's a pretty
right.
Good
I was promoting that earlier today. My jewelry business name is Dreamweaver Designs, but for now, if you want to contact me, use the Spirit One, the Messenger One, because I haven't been checking that one too often lately, because I use it a lot mostly for PayPal until I get some websites set up. But if you email me, if you're interested in my jewelry, I use semi-precious stone beads like turquoise, amethyst, moss agate, pearls, you know, freshwater pearls, things like that, all kinds of different stones. And I use a lot of silver pendants, and I use Hill Tribes silver, which is handmade silver from Thailand, from the north of Thailand. It's very beautiful stuff. I do all kinds of things, and I'm going to be branching out into doing things for, you know, chakra jewelry, if anybody wants that. And I'm if you contact me and you have I'll custom make something for you. You decide what you're looking for. My pictures aren't the best that I have right now, but they give you some idea of what I do. And some things don't have anything but the stones. But I will be getting some more pictures put up of things that I've made that are even better once I can do that. So contact me, and I hopefully might be able to intuit if you needed a certain something for, you know, a certain chakra, or maybe you just need some people might like a whole chakra thing, like, you know, every color of the chakra. It all depends, but I do, some of the things that I do are Celtic influence. It's a variant. It's all kinds of things. So.
Okay. Sounds great.
Just contact me for prices, and I do have a few pieces that are ready to go now.
Okay.
I just don't have pictures of them up yet, unfortunately.
Right. No.
But they're good.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, well, man.
Right. Let's get back to our show real quick here. Like I said before, we are waiting for people to call in, and we actually have a caller in the queue right now, so let's bring them on and see what's up. Okay, here you go. 206, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Let me check. I'm still intact. How are you?
I am good.
And what's your name?
Shoni.
Your name is what?
Shoni.
Shoni.
You know who I am.
We've talked before, right?
Yes.
Through various places.
Through various places, yes.
Yeah, that's good you called in, because I actually wanted to sit there and talk about your friend and how we could actually, I guess you were trying to, if I'm not mistaken, you were trying to raise some money, right, for the condition she's in to help
right.
her out? So I was wanting to bring you on the show so we could actually get some people out there to actually hear this, so we could actually maybe get some people coming in here where we could actually, on this show, we could actually also get people to donate to the show. And for each person who donates $25 or $35, we'll take $5 of that and give it to you and your friend in the process
awesome.
Of helping you out with the situation. Okay, so tell us about you and tell us about your friend and tell us, you know, it's like you guys have had a great life history together, so give people an idea of who you guys are, so it's the idea of what's going on and the craziness and the kind of stuff and a couple of party girls, okay. Anyway.
Oh, there it goes. I have the volume all the way up. Her name is Haley Rowland, and she's on Facebook. And her website is called Hope for Haley. Spelled just like it sounds, Hope for Haley, F-O-R. And they have a few different things that you can do. They have like a book with pictures, you know, from various pictures from her life. She's 24 years old, and she's been diagnosed with what's called I can't even pronounce it. It's a cancer, I believe, of the lower bowel.
Right.
And it's one of the rarest cancers there is. It's 1% of, like, all cancers. They don't have an expectation date, you know, for how long she's going to live.
Mm-hmm.
Or a success rate.
So we're trying to put some focus on this thing, right, as a positive direction, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for everybody to send positive energy to your friend, I guess, because I've seen some really miracle working with the energy too, so I think sometimes when it comes to the doctors, I wish they would have more tact in how they actually give diagnosis to people, not making them feel so helpless, saying, okay, you only got 6 months to live. Now, we should put that in perspective with people too and say, hey, no, that's his opinion, but I think we should always put in there too, what I call the human consciousness has a lot to do with it too, and our spiritual selves and what we're going to put up with and what we're not going to deal with. What I mean by that is, I was sitting there looking at the situation of, for example, they were doing autopsies on people after they died, and they found out certain things with this one person who basically is with the full life. They found lesions on her brain where she should have had Alzheimer's or dementia, but she didn't. And the only common denominator was the way she conveyed her life, that she refused to feed into the world when it said, you can't do this or can't do that, and then changed her mind and decided to go a different direction. Now, I was sitting there looking at the pictures of your friend, and she seemed like she's a very strong-minded person that does what she wants to do and is very opinionated, correct?
Definitely.
Yeah, so when you sit there, I've never met this woman before, but when I sit there and saw the pictures of her, you just look at this person that definitely has a strength that can kick this whole freaking thing, just by the idea of focusing on herself and saying, hey, I didn't hear anything. And plus with the energy we're going to send to him.
Yeah. I think she's really, really strong. I think she can, if she realized that she could kick it, I think she could. And it's stage 4 small bowel carcinoma. That's it. Carcinoma.
Mm-hmm.
And she was diagnosed back in December. And when she was diagnosed already at stage 4. So they caught up really late.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been going, I think she's gone through 4 rounds of chemo.
How long has she been dealing with this?
I think she's been dealing with it pretty decent. She got to go to Hawaii, which is one of the things she'd always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she was well enough to do that at the time. She got the spirit of a tiger. She's a fighter.
Right.
I know she is.
Well, with the situation we have going on here and that kind of stuff, let me ask you a question. How has this taken a toll on you?
Probably not as hard as on me as it is like on the rest of the family, because they're there and they see you're going through it.
Right.
I'm not seeing her go through it. But, you know, she was like a niece to me. She is my brother's niece.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known her since she was a little girl. I guess it hurts a lot, of course, but...
Mm-hmm. No, the one thing I was sitting here talking about, too, with the situation is that, you know, everything, it's like everything that you're against can be restated in a way that puts you in support of something instead of being against war. You'd be for peace. And it's like with the situation here, instead of being against poverty, you'd be for prosperity. So
right.
The situations and things of just almost like conveying to her that just to live your life. And I just met a lady not too long ago. I was actually looking at an apartment. And she said that she moved to Manitou Springs. And the air, the water, we have natural springs and stuff here. And she said when she moved here, she was diagnosed with cancer. And they basically gave her, you know, like they always do, you know, the timeline, this is what's going to happen. And she said that's been, I think she said either 10 or 20, either, I want to say 10 years ago. And she's never looked back. Okay? You know, and it's just like it all fell into place. Everything was good. Everything was great. And it still continues to be good. And she just kind of moves on. She's like, I don't know how old she is. I'm just going to say she looks like I'm picking up what it's like she's in the 70s. But if you see how she carries herself, she's always wearing tennis shoes, and she's always on the ghetto. So it's the ideal of sitting down and go, perception is my perception, and then going and living that perception of how you perceive your life to be and what your life is. And you'll see differences in this whole situation. It is a kind of a hard thing when you look at people, okay, you know, you live your life, and people, first thing they're going to say is they always want to jump on that negative thing. So what happens if she passes and it doesn't work? And you're sitting there going, I guarantee you, when the thing's all said and done, and it does go that way, it'll be an easier transition because the person's going to feel good about themselves no matter what they do or no matter what people say or what's actually been thrust upon them. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Makes a lot of sense.
So, you know, we look at the situation, and I've just seen a lot of people who throw themselves in their lives, almost forget the doctor, the whole situation, and then look back and it's been 6 years. And they say, well, the doctor said I only had 6 months.
Yeah, but you also look at the fact that the ones that don't have the money are the ones that the doctors don't try as hard to save, you know.
That's true, too. That's one of the things. I think it's the saddest thing.
If they're rich and famous, they're trying as hard as they can to save them. And if they're not rich and famous, then, you know.
Mostly in 6 months.
They're sorry they don't know what to tell you, you know.
Right. And that's why we sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, let's use the doctor as motivation to prove him wrong, you know. There was another guy, Red Muscle, at Muscle Fitness, who was also diagnosed with cancer, and he said, you know something? Say what you want to say, but he said, I think what it is, it's a wake-up call for me to finally get my ass in shape and start living my life the way I was supposed to. And he started eating properly. He started working out, started getting active, and just moved from there. And he said, as you're reading this article, I was actually given, like, I think it was 9 to 10 months to live, and he said that was 6 years ago. So, you know, it's the way of looking at things and saying, okay, if they're not going to help me, and they've pretty much given up, I haven't. I'm still breathing. I'm still kicking here. So we're going to sit and do what we got to do. And it's just one of those things when you look at the thing. I think it is a sad thing in this country. You know, when you sit and look at everybody and go, okay, doctors, I know for a fact I've sat down with people and given free sessions. I know I've given it myself without any kind of free, you know, free of charge. And I look at the situation of helping people and really being out there and doing what we want to do. Well, I wish I could hit the lottery so I could just sit down and do this work, you know, and just do it and help everybody out there and freaking thing like that. But right now, in order to keep things going, you know, we got things we got to take care of, and everything falls into place. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, when you look at the situation of a man, because, you know, I'm looking for compensation. I'm looking for what I feel like I'm worth, and giving back maybe. No, actually, well, sometimes I've actually given myself so much into a reading, I had to take a nap afterwards. And we see a lot of hardworking doctors out there, but I'm not saying we're not. But the thing I'm talking about is, why should a person be in a, I mean, you're already in the hospital, you're going through a situation that you don't know, and then you got to sit there and put on top of that, you got to worry if tomorrow you're going to run out of money. I think when we have these major situations like this, we should call in, of course, we should be calling in a lot of spiritual help too as well. But at the same time, I think we should also be more giving of ourselves to say, well, this person can't really, you know, can't really afford all this stuff.
Right.
But the person still has, the ailment. You know, the guy looks at the woman and she's saying, I don't know if I'm going to have money tomorrow, or my interest is going to run out tomorrow. And he goes out and gets in his Porsche and leaves. And, you know, it's like, look at these situations. They're trying to, right now, I feel like the reason the medical community and all the things that go with it, the reason we're having so much imbalances with that whole thing is because it's unbalanced, of course. But I'm thinking it's because people are focusing more on, I want to become a nurse or a doctor because of the money, instead of actually becoming doctors and nurses because they want to help people. They sit there and they'll sit, because I tell people, how can you tell if they're true or not? Ask a woman, okay, why did you become a nurse? I make $75,000 a year, and I love to help people. Actually, what she's saying to you is, I love money. And the people, I got to say that to you so you won't think I'm a mean person, and I got to justify the $75,000. Okay, if that person looks at you and says, all she does is go into how much she loves helping people, and she starts talking about people she's worked with, she talks about her clients name by name, that's a real, true healer. It's the same thing with doctors, too. The doctors sit there and go, you know, what did you become a doctor for? Look at that purse out there, the freaking front of you. Don't you love that yellow color? Yeah, kick him to the freaking curb, right? But if you have a doctor who sits there and tells you about all the things he's done overseas and all the people he's helped and that kind of stuff, then you got a winner. Now if we can just take a bunch of group of... Because we were sitting talking about this last night. I said, we were sitting talking about Atlantis. Why are we talking about Atlantis? I said, imagine... We have Reiki masters, we have psychics, we have healers, we have all these people in these spiritual communities. Imagine Atlantis and a civilization where that's all there is. Okay? There was all these things, as we call technology, but not the same kind of technology everybody thinks. It has nothing to do with gas combustion engines. The Atlanteans were people that were working hand-in-hand with nature. Crystals were not just for, you know, zipping my little scooter across the freaking Atlantean sun plane. It was also for healing.
But if we could get to Atlantis, we'd all be rich.
Exactly, because it's the ideal of a society that works together. You didn't see people paying for rent. You didn't see, they had indoor plumbing. They had all the stuff. They had all the intimacy. Okay. And I've always had trouble with that word. I actually had it in my book, too. How come I can't pronounce that word? It starts with an A. Amenities.
What?
Amenities. They had all the amenities.
Amenities,
everything,
yeah.
Everything they ever wanted, and that thing goes along with it, because they worked as a whole. They didn't work as, and then, I was talking, we talked about this last night, too. I said, it wasn't until the alien races and the other people and things saw it for what it was, but it seems like there was a sense of jealousy that went along with it. It also threw off an imbalance. And if you look at the medical community, it's the same thing. You got guys who are working their butts off 24/7 and actually doing double shifts. And I just can't see how a person with that kind of lack of sleep could actually be efficient and actually be and do his job. Okay, I understand the dedication, but that's also another person who's actually gone, as we talk about what the balances between spiritual and materialistic, this is the person who's gone overboard in the spiritual part. He forgets that he also has a human body that also has to be kept up, and he's falling apart in the process of the whole situation. You know, so look at the things. But it's also, people don't realize a lot of things, too, that some diagnoses are given for the main purpose of making money. I had an aunt. I had a great aunt. She was 80-some years old, and some guy did a freaking cluster or something on her. And even he told my aunt, said that it probably wouldn't make a difference one way or the other, but he thought the surgery needed to be done. And the way the community works in Ohio, those people believe that when a doctor says something, since he's a professional, they just go, uh-huh. Well, you do what you think's best, doc. And God, I wish I could have been there and tell the guy to kick my ass. Anyway, the way they did the surgery on the woman, in 4 days, she didn't live 4 days. And it was one of those things where you just, you know, why? The guy got paid $80 for $80,000.
Yep.
For that surgery.
And that's,
okay?
That's a drop in the bucket to them, too.
Yeah, but what I'm going to sit here and look at is how can they justify a surgery? I understand the guy is very skilled, but $80,000 for a freaking surgery to a person who doesn't even make minimum wage. I think it should be balanced out to the point where, like we do, somebody walks up to me and says, I can do
it. I think they balance it out by knowing the fact that they're not going to be able to pay because they're going to die.
Yeah, but that's not a good justification, is it? I mean, sure, I look at people going, they're going to pass on, and I hope they haunt you for the rest of their life. But but it was one of those things, when you look at the situation, I said, you know, you look at the thing like we do. I mean, I've done readings before, people walk in, well, I don't have the money, okay? But I got $6, okay? It's like two people working together. It's the same thing with doctors. And I'm not saying doctors don't. I just haven't run across any yet. Okay, I've heard stories.
I mean, if they really... Well, here's an example. My aunt had breast cancer, and this is way back in the day before they marked them.
Uh-huh.
But they did a mastectomy on the wrong one.
Mm.
And, of course, she woke up the next day, and they figured she realized what had happened. And then she had to go back in and have another.
You're in Washington State, aren't you?
Washington State, yeah.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. No, I was just noticing, because I have my angel book here, and I was looking at your area code, 206. I was going to look up in the book and see what it meant.
Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm. Washington
Seattle area.
Well, are you close to, what's that place? Portland.
I'm close to Tacoma.
Oh, okay.
Portland is Oregon.
Yeah, I know. There's some reason Portland popped in my head, like, I don't know.
It's not, I mean, it pops in your head because it's some kind of sign that I follow every day.
Mm-hmm.
It could be it.
No, I was just saying, good.
The Tacoma-Portland exit.
What's that?
I said I take the Portland-Tacoma exit every day.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Let's see. I was sitting looking at the situation. Some of these. I was looking up 206 real quick. Let me see what that is. 206. All right. There we go. Amazing. I want to pull up something. I was like, okay, I knew there's two or six in there. Got everything in here. Well, we're actually, since we also have someone else on the queue that wants to fun, that wants to get on the show too. So that it's the same area code as these got. So we'll just go with that one too, which is 207. So we'll just go 206.
206 is Seattle.
Here's a good one.
Gig Harbor, Port Orchard, Aberdeen.
Wow. It's such a look at you.
It's spread out all over the place. My area code is on a cell phone, so it's not a landline.
Okay. No, but when we do the area code thing, it's amazing how we pull these numbers up, how they still resonate with you anyway. So I'll sit and look at 206, and 206 says, your prayers and faith are supporting you and your material needs completely. Turn any worries into prayers and be open to receiving the answers to those prayers. That's 206. And 207 says the universe is patting you on the back, applauding the way you've lived on a foundation of prayers and spiritual devotion. Keep up the good work. I also want to throw in 208. I think it goes along with this too. Where it says your positive.
Did you say 208?
Yes, 208 says
208 is Idaho.
Okay. It says your positive outlook, prayers, and other manifestations, activities have created financial security for you. Expect an increase in funds, such as a raise, promotion, or windfall. But when you sit there and look at those meanings, you can also put them in a situation that you're going through where it's just saying that what you're focusing on right now will have the same outcome. So because you know, you're looking at a situation with your friend and things that go along with that and raising money and that kind of stuff. So basically what they're saying is success is right. There will be success in the situation of exactly accomplishing exactly what you've set to do. So it shows a great outcome, but that outcome is definitely going to fall into place. We also have another person in the queue, and I just want to bring along, if you want to stick around, Shuni. Is that good?
I think I possibly can.
Huh?
Yeah, go ahead. Get her on.
Okay. Here we go. Area code 207. You're on the air. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm really good, and thank God I got on and you allowed me on. Thank you.
Oh, now Melissa.
Melissa?
It is, yeah.
That's my friend Melissa from Kittery.
Melissa from where?
Kittery, Maine.
The end of the line before New Hampshire.
Okay. Happy
We met on your show. Pay attention. Get with the program, Donnie. Come on.
It sounded a little blurry for me. I mean, a little fuzzy. That's why I didn't hear it. I heard her say, Melissa. This is Melissa from, and then that got that little phase thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I was listening to this phone call, and this is something on my spiritual path that I've paid very close attention to, are medical things.
Uh-huh.
And in how our words and our beliefs can really shape our physical bodies and the whole thing. And if we think that doctors are rip-off artists and they don't care for us, that's what we're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
This one's been very big for me to notice, and I don't know why, but it has been.
Right.
So I think our words are so... And the feelings, most importantly, behind the words, you know, instead of thinking, you know, they're not for us, we could say, every hand that touches me is a healing hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, let me ask you a question real quick. Do you think with the existing doctors that we're associated with, do you think we can actually also take those positive words and maybe change their actions too as well?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
No. One thing I was going to tap on too is which is a little bit different than this situation, but it seemed like it needed to be said, because it's like we're talking about basically the medical field and a lot of people feeding the fear and what they're creating. And we put a thing out. I don't know. It's like one of those things, I just want to sit there and voice an opinion about something that just happened to me yesterday, where I had put some pictures of my girlfriend on my Facebook, and all of a sudden a magazine I was writing for, the person who actually promotes that magazine, got mad and got upset. It seemed like there was something throughout the line that set a chain reaction of comments. And when I started focusing on it, my biggest problem with it was, it wasn't realistically the pictures. It was more along the line of the fear of what could happen or what are people going to say. And I started thinking about the idea. The reason I felt like something needed to be said is because here we are, a spiritual magazine, and we're trying to put out there of people to deal with fear and to realize fear is nothing but an illusion. At the same time, I'm getting backlash from people who are scared of exactly what might be, because they're feeding that fear that someone might say something that might hurt that magazine. When we sit there and focus too on the same thing and say we're a spiritual magazine, if people have a tendency to say certain things, realistically they're not getting it. They're not seeing us for who we are. They're actually feeding more into the illusion than actually seeing us for who we really are. If people really were willing to help, because the pictures were kind of provocative, but it was my Facebook. It wasn't like I went to her. I understand I'm connected to that magazine. But they were saying, you need to be responsible. I said, yeah, we do need to be responsible. We need to be responsible that we're spiritual people. And if we're going to feed into our fears, then they're going to see that.
Exactly. Exactly. I went through something sort of similar yesterday, and it's been inside of me. It was like this, and I had mentioned it to somebody this morning, that I feel like some of my things that I'm holding inside are being mirrored back to me in a very some odd ways. And that was
because they're talking about the powerful healing messages about life purpose and relationships and world events and all kinds of stuff that go along with it. Is the idea of realizing that when we connect with our angels and our guides, and like you said, actually, when you connect with your angels, your guides, and God, like I said, in my book, you'll read in my journal, it will say, thank you, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Thank you for your help, protection, and guidance. And it seems like when I sit there, get away from those, then I have certain events that happen throughout the day. But when I do make that point to say those things every day and to sit there and at least take an hour for myself, my day seems to be really smooth and really going out there. So
I did. I started a new affirmation. So and sometimes, as you know, that can make things pop up. It does for me, anyway. Do you know what I mean?
And if you do have things that pop up, you know, when you do that preparation in the morning of thankfulness I was sitting there listening to people talk about The Secret, and they go, and The Secret, it really doesn't, I think it's people trying to sell books, tell you the truth. When they sit there and say, The Secret doesn't really give you a lot of information and a lot of detail.
It's very basic, but a good starter.
It is very basic, but it also, if you listen and watch the movie itself, the one thing they keep saying is you need to get to know who you are. If you do that, and then it's not so basic after all, because basically what the movie's saying is, it's based off of your wants, needs, and desires, not mine. And this is what I did. Jack Canfield gets really descriptive in what he sits here and tells people what to do and what you can do with visuals and that kind of stuff. But that we do have a bad habit of limiting ourselves, because I was sitting talking to my mom one time, and I said, you know, the idea of putting yourself in the same category as God, she freaks. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. And it basically, in the Bible, if you read it correctly, God says, yes, you are. It's you that doesn't believe that you are. So therefore, when you focus on the kingdom of God, you start seeing things more clearly as a truth. And when you see the truth, you start seeing yourself. And then you start realizing that people out there, the reason they do that is because they're scared of that power that they do possess.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to go out and hurt people, or they think they're more powerful than their circumstances.
Who was it that said that, Marianne Williamson? Their biggest fear is that we're not weak, that we're more powerful than we ever thought. Something
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, because I was also talking to Dr. Wayne Dreyer says,
yep.
excuses.
I got his new book.
Yeah, it says excuses are just things that we create out of fear to keep us from
mm-hmm.
what we really want to be.
Yes.
So, and my favorite one, too, is that he points out this, our consequences of our actions on all
mm-hmm.
kinds of levels. Where he had a thing where they had a questionnaire, and someone asked a question and said, why did God allow shootings in schools? And on the back of it, when you turn it back, and he said, when you turn it over, God answered. And God said,
mm-hmm.
don't you remember? You took me out of schools.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I help you if you take me out of things? You know, you limit yourself by taking and looking at things. You know, like
mm-hmm.
two people
mm-hmm.
meet each other. Like two people
mm-hmm.
meet each other, like a lawyer and a client. Now,
mm-hmm.
these two people are destined to be together. The excuses start coming in. He goes, well, ethics say, which is kind of funny for lawyers anyway, but that's another story. But he says, ethics says I can't do this. And then she says, I can't do this either because you're my lawyer. So they're making excuses not to see what really is there and what kind of relationship they can really have. That's why I keep telling everybody, the world will limit you, but spirituality will show you your true potential. It will show you that you have no limitations. And once you focus, and people don't understand this either too, when you focus on spirituality, the true sense of positive energy, spirituality, you will not hurt people. You're powerful.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You're the power. Yeah, the power that you have is to create your life and to be who you are. In the process
okay.
of, you will set an example for everybody across the planet,
mm-hmm.
maybe even the
mm-hmm.
universe, to see that they can do the same thing too. And
mm-hmm.
in the process of that example, you send off a chain reaction where everybody else is starting to relook at themselves and
mm-hmm.
start realizing that power is not dangerous. Power is the way we manifest our lives into reality.
Mm-hmm.
God should be taking this. It is taking
I don't really. I've also been a big fan of Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham. And
Jerry and Esther. Yes, Jerry and Esther.
Yeah.
My favorite
technique
is the.
But she passed away. Yeah,
he
passed away.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
what she had said or channeling, and this really gave me a lot of comfort in life. Is, you know, people will say, well, what about people that get killed and, you know, murders and molestations and all these horrible things? And as she says, that people come to co-create with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bad. And that really makes a lot of sense to me. And it maybe not to everybody, but it does to me. You know, even
uh-huh.
more people that get shot or shoot other people, that the other person was in co-creation.
Hmm.
So there is no guilt. There is no anything like that, you know?
Yeah, it was also...
It's one that I think you've got to wrap your head around, in it, but it feels good to me.
Yeah, I was just saying, it was like Wizard talking about the same thing, too, where it's like you look at things and you focus and you do what you got to do, and, you know, the idea of love and putting it out there and see what happens. And
mm-hmm.
I was sitting there talking, we were talking about the Ten Commandments, and I said, you know, I've always wondered what is really going on in people's lives who actually have a little banner outside with the Ten Commandments on it. What's up with
mm-hmm.
them? Because we know for a fact that when everything reflects on life, right? So
mm-hmm.
what's their fear? What's their fear when they had to put that
exactly.
out in the front yard? Because I sit there and I told a friend of mine, she goes, what do you mean? I said, I want you to think about something. In the Bible, Jesus says the greatest commandment, or the greatest of the Ten Commandments, it says love. Love, you know, love your neighbors, you love yourself, love everyone. You know, love yourself, love the world. And when you do that, and then you start thinking that, okay, you have the Ten Commandments, but Jesus says those are not the main ones. There's actually one that cancels those out, I guess you would say. And I think the reason what he was getting at was, and I really feel like that was very positive anyway, that when he said that was because if you think about this, if you love yourself unconditionally
mm-hmm.
and you love everyone or everything who crosses your path,
mm-hmm.
you will never break the Ten Commandments.
Exactly. And that was another one I listened to yesterday, and I don't know how this is going to touch everybody. But Esther calls it being in the vortex. And that's when you feel really good and, you know, creation and all this. And she said, obviously, when Christ was crucified, he wasn't in the vortex. Because look at what happened to him. That's a deep one.
Yeah.
I heard it yesterday morning, and I thought, because it had to do with people being, you know, supposed gurus on this earth, and even they are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was a big one for me when I heard it yesterday. I don't I don't always play this stuff for my husband because he'd be like, "What?" But yeah, we're human beings. We make mistakes. We do things.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just saying with the situation here, yeah, I just want to look at everything and go, okay.
Mm-hmm,
I want everybody
mm-hmm.
to sit there. Yeah, I was actually getting Airpool to put in the chat room. There's actually on YouTube, if you go to YouTube Hicks, there's actually a YouTube that's about manifestation.
Yeah.
And it goes real thing, and all you see is like money. There's opportunities and stuff like that. And it was like, she points out that exchanges like gold, money, and all those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
those are not bad.
Mm-mm.
It's the people and their perceptions behind it when they get a hold of it.
Exactly.
What they're going to do with it and that kind of stuff. So the ideal, if you're sitting there saying, I want to be financially independent and free and all my bills
mm-hmm.
are paid in full, and then
mm-hmm.
you sit there and wing on the end of that thing going, money's bad.
Yeah.
Don't expect the first one to come true.
I love money. And money loves me. And
right.
I like, I love the things that I can get. Of course, I love it. I love money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I went on YouTube and got that video myself and sat there and watched it. And you'll start seeing underneath there, there's like a subliminal message underneath the pictures
mm-hmm.
themselves. It's get money.
Yep.
And I was sitting there looking at this warning. It says, I gratefully acknowledge my remarkable real estate savvy. I've purchased, see, they always put in the presence.
Mm-hmm.
I've purchased homes in a variety of different locations, all of which appeal to any number of my interests. I own waterfront, mountaintop, suburban, and urban properties. I appreciate and enjoy my home, my beautiful home. It has the view, the neighborhood, and the amenities of all that I desire. I am blessed
mm-hmm.
and grateful. I enjoy. Okay, I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
The thrill of knowing it's 100% paid for, free and clear. It's like also the same thing with people looking at the situation. We got to take our minds out of the situation that we're going to do is no more, no loans, nothing like that. So you have to be realizing that we, you know, maybe our biggest problem is we keep feeding into this thing. Say we got to buy cars on loans, we got to buy houses on loan. Oh my gosh, I got to put $30 on my freaking 15 years on my house. And you're sitting there going, why don't you do this? Paid in full.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the situation.
You never know. You never know how that money is going to come. You never know.
Yeah, so pretty much, I do it like this. I love my new, luxurious, ideal vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that
you're
took me a year, Donnie, to get. I had a car in mind. And, but it did take me a year because I let other people's stuff get in the way. But you know what? It is sitting in the driveway. It did take a year. but I got it.
Yeah, we tell people, okay, like this, do like this. I love my new luxurious vehicle. I enjoy driving it and love the thrill of knowing it's 100% paid for, free and clear. Now, if you're a person, you're sitting there going, I don't know if that's spiritual or not, then go to my next page where it says, my primary interest or intent is to realize the presence of God within. I give my steadfast confidence in my consciousness of spirit within as my master creator. I joyously meditate daily. It's fun, effortless. Natural and an essential part of my everyday life. I seek peace first. Peace reigns supreme in my life now and always. I seek atonement. I am completely connected to the power and the presence of God at all times. I was saying, I saw this one in here where it was like on wealth. I was telling someone this, and they kind of looked at me and said, wow, don't you think you're getting a little egotistic or getting a little too big-headed? I said, I am I am a mighty money magnet, and oceans of money engulf me. I am a money magnet. All that I do creates greater and greater wealth and abundance. And here's my favorite. My income as a psychic medium, spiritual advisor, shop owner, a radio show host, far exceeds all of my wants, needs, and desires. I am grateful to have the means to purchase anything I desire when I desire it. In cash, I only pay in cash.
I love affirmations, and I've been trying to get D into affirmations.
You're a smacker, would you? Anyway.
I've been trying.
I can delete you from my TED profile.
To get into affirmations, they're really... Another one I just wanted to point out. I'm a big Louise Hay fan, and she talked about, it just reminded me of something I saw on Facebook. She helped a woman heal her eyesight. And after the woman came back to her and she said, I can't believe I can see. I can't believe this, over and over and over again. Well, that 2 days later, the woman was back to wearing her glasses. And what she said, our subconscious mind has no sense of humor.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, you're darn right it doesn't.
It's kind of funny to tell the story, okay? My mom goes to church, and her eyesight started failing too. So but if you want to listen to her before it happened, she was saying, you know, she was told when you hit a certain age, your eyesight started getting bad.
It's a belief.
So it was amazing at that age, her eyesight started going. So she goes to church, and they heal her eyes. And I told her, I said, was it really a physical healing, or did they heal your subconscious mind? So therefore, you don't believe it no more, and you have perfect eyesight the whole time. You know, some of those things. So it's a healing. Don't get me wrong; it's a healing. But I was trying to put it in perspective. I was saying, okay, I think we need to do that so we can be more effective at healing too, as well, and we can also heal ourselves. I sat there and told a friend of mine. I sat there for 3 hours and started just focusing my energy into my jaw, and my tooth. I had a tooth break off, and it was painful. Mm-hmm. But I refused to feed into it, so I took my hands, put it on that part of my jaw, and started focusing on that just for 3 hours. All I come and do is I come and reach an energy coming from the ground up to the tip of my head, down to my hands, and just kind of flowing that energy. About 3 hours later, I had this weird feeling in my jaw, like a rope. You ever hear how a rope goes when you pull it tight? And it makes that weird noise. It made that weird noise, and it stopped hurting, and it's never hurt since then. And I've never gone to the dentist to get it, as some people would say, get it fixed.
Right.
But there's so it's like one of the things that's just kind of like, it kind of healed itself in some sense of the word, where there were certain things that, not saying I won't ever get it fixed, but it's one of those things, I'm still walking around and saying, well, and if people do the same thing with toothaches. God, this thing hurts. It hurts. It's never going to stop. Nothing I can do, nothing. And they're like, oh. I can help you, but you got to be open-minded about letting go of your thoughts about what you're saying right now, and don't say those things. Like we've heard people say, you know, I'm going to try. Well, you've already set yourself up for failure right there when you say I'm going to try, because the subconscious mind says, well, okay, we know last time you tried, you didn't get nothing going, so this time you're going to do the same thing.
So we're going to support you in that belief.
Exactly, and that's what we're talking about. It's like looking at the subconscious mind as being a pattern for an artist. Okay, if you're only going to get... If you have a pattern of a bust of John Wayne, when you put that clay in that freaking mold every time, you're going to get a picture of John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
It's not until you take that mold and you change it into something else, it changes the outcome. And that's what we're trying to do with everybody with their subconscious mind, again, to change that whole aspect or realize what's in there. And it's kind of funny because people say, well, I've had a positive life. Why is things still going like they are? Well, somewhere down the line, somebody said something to you or something happened to you, even if it was only for 5 minutes. I mean, when I drowned, that experience was just one day and one incident, maybe 2 hours, tops, maybe. But for 2 hours of trauma, set off a freaking chain reaction that could have, you know, there were certain things that happened for a lifetime until they were dealt with. It was kind of funny because the first time I went to Colorado, I had somebody, and I always tell people, you should take advantage of situations when they present themselves. When a person walks up to you and says, I want to help you. I wanted to give you some Reiki or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not saying they want anything back in return. Keep
mm-hmm.
your mouth shut and go and follow through with the opportunity to present it for you. Because I did that. The lady came to my shop. I was working. I did a reading for her. And that's one thing I like about Colorado. When you go do readings and stuff, there's people here that when they walk in, they go, $25. That's too little. And they give you more. Or they'll do some. And this lady was one of those. When she came in, I did a reading for her. And every once in a while, I have this thing where I pass on my cards. Well, she freaked out. She's like, oh, I can't do this. I can't accept these. And I told her flat out, you're not going to screw up my karma. You're taking the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna. And I said, $25. So it was $20 for the reading. And she goes, oh, that's just too little. And before we got done with it, the lady just said, you're taking the $40. So she handed me $40. And I said, okay.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, so I said, okay, take the $40. Well, then she was sitting there looking at me. She goes, I still feel like, you know, you've just given me too much. I got to get something back. So she goes, can I do some Reiki on you? Well, I was hesitant at first, but I let her do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was doing it, she started describing things to me about what she was picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And she started picking up exactly what happened to me when I drowned. She started picking up on the two mm-hmm. intersecting rivers. She picked up a mass on my lungs and on the back of the neck. And I said, and she goes, what that? She goes, I don't understand the back of the neck. And I said, when I drowned, I was in water. The current was so strong that the only way they could get me was to put their son on a tree limb. And he grabbed me by the hair of my head and pulled me out. What's more than likely, put a trauma through the back of my neck. So I told her, I said, all the things you're saying, I said, you know, something's kind of funny. I keep hearing this over and over again from different things with readings and now a Reiki saying, I need to take a look at that time of my life for some reason. And it was amazing when I went back. I went back and started realizing I felt guilty. And I was still carrying some guilt because the situation was, when I drowned, my mom came in after me. And she was 8 months pregnant. And she almost drowned. And we almost almost lost three people that day, me, my mom, and my sister, who she was pregnant with. And it seems like threes have also stuck with me for a long time, too. So I was sitting looking at it.
Interesting.
Yeah, as soon as I went back.
Well,
I was just saying, as soon as I went back and looked at the guilt and realized that was what it was, my prosperity in the shop increased.
You know what's funny with me? This is only me, and you know how I feel, and in this incarnation for myself, and I don't know why, I have absolutely no interest in past life.
I'll get to
for myself, where I was, what I did, whatever went on. It's really interesting to me, but it's good. And sometimes I feel for people that are going through something that, you know, they think, my relationships aren't going right in this lifetime because I did something bad in a last lifetime, which they don't always remember. And I almost feel bad for them when they think that they just have to suffer because it was something that they don't even know anything about. Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
I hear it on different shows, and you know, I have this problem because in a past life I must have done something bad. But you come back down or from wherever you came from, and you have no idea. I've heard that almost called a karma cop out.
Well, it's like this, Woody. I want to take a look at the situation too and say it's like. We are three-dimensional beings, so there's different variations, definitely different variations, but you're right. It does seem, but you also, I think sometimes you got to look at their lives as well. And I tell like my mom was sitting there talking about, you need to think and focus and talk, and you need to focus on positive stuff, okay? And then 10 minutes later, she turns around and says, you know, I'm going to go do something. And she goes, well, what if, in a negative way? Right, so basically what she just said, I'm not taking any kind of weight into it because she just counteracted it with something negative by saying, what if you get hit by a car across the street? You got to keep watching. You got to go. And you should go, okay, slow down. Now it's like I want to sit here and focus on positive.
I see
what
you're
saying. People get, I'm just saying,
I have
people get mad, too.
And he wanted to borrow my car, and he likes to borrow it. And I'm cool with that. I don't worry about things like that. And I said, now, in the beginning, you know, don't speed in my car. Be careful driving. And I thought to myself, I'm almost putting something out bad for both he and I. When I, now what I say to him is, have fun, drive safe. That's it. Rather than the fear that, you know, I mean, I instead of scaring him and me, have fun, drive safe. Don't drive my car fast, you know. Instead, that's what we think as parents we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's going to keep people safe.
Yeah,
it's really
safe.
The words we use are so important. They're so important. They're so important.
Fear just increases fear.
Say that again?
Yeah,
I said fear just increases fear. Because
sure
fear
does.
Doesn't keep you safe. It
and
just makes you feel worse. It becomes a vicious cycle.
It sure does. An addiction.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
That's all that it is. And it's fake. It's so fake.
No,
was it Roosevelt? We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know what she's talking about. When people are focusing on, you know, I tell people what you need to do is there's something that bugs you or bothers you or certain things that are going on with your life. Past life readings can help you out to trace you back to the soul. Okay, and let go of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's one of those things of realizing that probably in certain lifetimes and that kind of stuff, maybe you did do something wrong or do something bad, or maybe you just got shot, or maybe something tough and flipped. My biggest problem is with relationships. Oh, you and him have something to finish. I'm sort of going.
Yeah.
What if it's like this? Maybe you're misreading it. Maybe what they have to finish, so if they're soulmates or twin flames, maybe what they have to finish is to continue.
Exactly.
You know, instead of saying, "Oh, wow,"
I'll get you a credit there, Melissa.
What?
Or
I was kidding you.
My favorite one says, "Oh, your husband died before you." Isn't that like it usually? I mean, back in the day, that was
so common. Yeah.
So you have the thing going on, but we also have the extraordinary. Men, you know, people living to be 90 and 100 years old. Even in those days, they're ancient, but they're also, it's so funny, back in those days, those people are looked at as gods. They're looked at people that are very special people, but today, they're pushed to the side and stuck in nursing homes. No matter what the condition is, no matter what's up with them or what's going on, the biggest thing is we also have these children who are also feeding in fear and say, okay, mom, walk your butt on the stairs. Well, if you fall down the stairs, or at least you're out in a freaking nursing home too, you know, you're not working out, you're overweight, you might fall down the stairs too. Actually, I was in Maryland, and this one family was telling them that they need to lose weight, and everybody in the family was very huge, and they were walking downstairs to go into the basement, and the stairs collapsed, and it was they were saying we're going to sue the landlord. And I said, why don't you guys just look at the idea of what you've been told. That the stairs were made for a certain thing, of course, and maybe they should have been whatever. But the point is, more likely, this is how I look at accidents. There are no accidents.
You're exactly right.
There's always something that happens that warns you that if you listen to, you're going to avoid something. And I feel like in that situation, too, here we are, and I have some heavy women who are walking down the stairs. Didn't you feel something before you went kaboomy? I mean, I know
you think they would, the stair creaks, the whole
but
thing,
then
yeah.
But then you also have somebody that can get stuck in that fear.
Yeah, once I started doing this work, I started looking back, and all the things that had happened to me, right?
Yeah.
And all the accidents and those things we thought were accidents, I started looking. It's amazing when you go into the lifestyle, and you start focusing on spirituality, you start listening to your angels and guides, then you start realizing back in your past, they were always talking to you. When you recognize what that voice was all about.
Oh,
there was your English center going, do not stick your hand in there. You're going to get a... You didn't listen. You know, or like with me, I was on a bike and I was heading down the Schumacher's Hill. I got in the gravel. And the voice says, I was thinking to myself, so I've ever gotten... And something said, don't go there. And then all of a sudden, the voice said, green. Something said, green. No, what was
or
it?
Or anger.
I better
anger
get out of gravel.
Accidents, too.
Yeah, the next thing I know, I was skipping across the road when I should have listened.
Yeah. What is it they say, car accidents metaphysically, or you're so mad you could hit somebody so you get hit?
Yeah, exactly.
There's
so
a whole thing.
Yeah, I get so freaking mad, I want to smack you and I walk in.
And then you get smacked.
Yeah, I bump my head or I go down the freaking
hallway.
Yeah,
it's interesting, and I've watched it in my family, you know, certain things when somebody's going through something, and they pick up different things. So it's kind of interesting to watch. And this is cool. The last show was different, wasn't it, Dee?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Different more back and forth.
Right, yes. Definitely.
I couldn't even speak.
Oh, this morning.
I couldn't, and I'm usually not for a loss of words.
Well, you and I talked about why that was happening.
Dee spoke, though. Dee did all the talking. I couldn't even speak. It was like somebody covered my mouth with duct tape.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's the handyman's secret weapon.
Funny thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, silence is golden.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, I remember that song from the 60s.
I'm not that old.
But I am.
These clothes have to be old enough to be my mother. Close.
Okay.
I am still young. Tomorrow is my 64 years young celebration there.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. That's a good affirmation. I am young.
Oh, I say that. I've always said that I'm going to die young at an old age.
To die young at an old age. My husband's
nice.
Cool.
That's a positive affirmation.
Yeah, he'll get no gray hair, and he has none. He'll be 49. I can eat what I want, and I don't put weight on.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I'm 18.
Right. I just want to sit there and pass this on to everybody. Before you go to bed tonight, say this to Archangel Michael. Archangel Michael, please enter my dreams and replace fear with faith and trust. Let me be filled with strength, courage, and confidence. That's actually one of my Archangel Michael cards. And then there's Archangel Raphael card. Says, dear Archangel Raphael, thank you for healing and guiding all my relationships upon the path of love. Thank you. And for the people out there who want to sit there and focus on the soulmate thing, if you're looking for the prayers and affirmations and things to focus on more, and actually making this the year that you actually make that happen, is this one here is a romance angels. It's like, remember one thing, romance angels are helping you. This one here says, dear guardian angels of my soulmate, thank you for preparing me. Thank you for preparing my soulmate and me for love, for giving us the motivation to make helpful life changes, and for arranging for us to meet. Thank you for helping us recognize each other and have the courage to say hello so that we can eventually devolve into a truly intimate relationship. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, I like that.
That's my role. If I'm not mistaken, that's another Archangel Michael card, too, working with the romance angels. And Archangel Michael, I've always seen as an angel, archangel to work with, to actually cut loose the past. We could call it cutting cords.
Yeah, I've been doing that. I've been doing the cords.
But always remember, say to yourself, yes, I can love and be loved.
I have a question for you, and it may seem a little off track, but I've asked a lot of people this, and I'll see what answer you give me. When I close my eyes, I see different colors at different times, and I'm putting no pressure on my eyes, so it has nothing to do with, you know, that kind of thing. What is that?
I do the same thing. When I close my eyes and I see pink, I just feel like when I see pink and stuff for myself or colors, those are indications to me of angels or archangels around me. I've actually seen a bluish green.
Okay.
Which is Archangel Michael. I see I see green all the time. So that's Archangel Raphael. The pink is Archangel Shemuel. And,
okay.
And then there's another one, it was a pale kind of thing. I think it's Archangel Azrael, which is, I think, the Archangel of Ascension, or some people call him the Death Angel, or the Angel
okay.
of Death. But it's also a transition. It's like showing, looking at, like I've seen a lot of, I also seen it on Charmed, it was portrayed as art, that the Angel of Death is neither good or evil. It's just,
right.
it's just. Yeah, it's existence. And then we start looking at other things, but when I start seeing those colors for, I'm sitting here talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I see with you, I'll start seeing colors of orange, yellow, and pink.
How did you know that?
Okay. Let me break the news to you. A psychic does this show, I swear. Anyway.
You know, I'm pretty good, too. I'm pretty good, and I don't tell many people this. But, okay, could they be chakras that are opened?
When I look at the red, when I see a touch of red, that means you need to open your, yeah, it means you need to open that, your root. The root chakra, the ruby red
okay.
one.
Is it open, or does it need to be opened?
It needs to be balanced with the rest, because
okay.
it seems like I get the impression the yellow, the pink, and the orange is like, those are the ones that seem to work with the most. You got yellow
okay.
for your sacred. Let me rephrase that. The yellow ones is for your solar plex, which is power and control.
Right.
And then we have the orange one, which is sacred chakra, which is the one to control wants, needs, and desires. And then, let's see, okay, we said orange, yellow, and pink. Now, pink,
okay.
you're apparently like, okay, what are you talking about the pink part? I don't remember a chakra that has pink in it.
Me either, but that's
your heart chakra.
Right.
Your heart chakra is pink or green.
What is it?
I usually get it when I meditate. Yeah.
Well, the heart chakra.
That can be pink or green.
Well, yeah, but most people, what you're seeing here is you got to drink it down a little bit further than that and go a little deeper. Okay, your heart chakra is green. Emerald green. And the reason the pink would show through is because the ideal, what's behind your heart chakra, has also been said the essence, your God essence, the connection that you have with God. So therefore, that's a pure essence of pure love. So you will pick up pink with that as well.
Okay. That's
it's a variation, too. I will sit here and say that, too. There's a variation. There's some people who say that. Some people say it's just green. Some people say that when you connect with the essence behind the heart, which is that's the one that I sit there and tell people to do in the meditation. You focus. I got this partly from reading Doreen Virtue's book and her chakra clearing meditations, where it talks about focusing on the essence. And it talks about go within yourself and see a pilot light. There's another one, John Randolph Price says, when you focus on that place, focus, bow your head, and also go to the same place. And he says focus on the God essence. I've also seen where you can look at it, too, and see it as a aqua blue,
mm-hmm. Me
like
too.
A plasma essence,
mm-hmm.
a flame, too. And what you do is people are like, okay, does it really exist? What you need to do is you focus on that spot. Focus
mm-hmm.
on that place right behind the heart and say to yourself, I love. Or just have, I used to do like this, I am love. And I'll say,
mm-hmm.
I love. I am love. And I'll sit there and start off the first one. Because I tell people, start off with either one of those two first. Because what you're going to find
mm-hmm.
out is when you start tapping into that, really just allow your inner sight to go to that spot. And just immerse in that whole thing, right? And just say to yourself, I am love. I
mm-hmm.
am love. And say it over and over. What you're going to start feeling is you're going to start seeing a vibration there. And when
mm-hmm.
you start saying it, I've been doing this work for a long time. I started doing that meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to stop after about five. I couldn't get to 5 minutes. I'm sort of going, I should have to do more than 5 minutes. But it just it was when you tap into something that's pure, nothing but pure evil. You know, like when we tap into pure evil, we know it's the
mm-hmm.
same. It's the opposite, but it's tapping into pure love of saying, "Ooh, that gives you shivers." I mean, it's like you just got to work with it until it resonates throughout your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Also, watch out for things coming in, too, because I sit and say, I am love. When you say I am, what is the I am? It's God. And
it's
omnipresent,
everything,
love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, I am love. So it's like love is the key. It really is. I had a thing in here in this book, which for some reason, I'll sit and look at this one, And I was talking about tapping into that area, too. But it was a nice little thing where you tap into those things and start talking, focusing on yourself.
Mm.
Focusing on the God consciousness, the Christ consciousness, and really connecting with yourself. And then there's a couple other ones, too. There's a book I've been writing on, John Randolph Price, called Angel Energy,
mm-hmm.
How to Harness Angel Energy in Your Everyday Life.
Mm.
And it's a really interesting thing. Oh, shoot. Don't you hate that chat room sometimes? It just goes blank. And I was saying, well, okay, what happened? And also, if you're a person who does readings, find you a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I found this one where it was Archangel Michael, and a lot of people are kind of fearful when they do this kind of work and what kind of protection they can actually ask for to help them in their situations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find that one, too. But I had it, and it's here. I know it is. Okay, here it is. Archangel Michael, I ask that you stand by my side and watch over me during this. I always put down during this reading, during my meditations, do all the spiritual work that I do, ensuring that only God's love and wisdom comes through. Thank you. My favorite one here is, dear God, angels, archangels, sin masters, guardian angels, guides, higher self, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, please help me clearly hear, see, think, and feel true divine guidance. Please guide my readings so that they are in the light, are specific and accurate, and brings blessings to everyone involved. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I have a question, and I'm following my gut. I'm really
kind of vibrating right now myself.
What do you call it? Empathic. Dee doesn't think she is, but she is. Okay, I have this neighbor. He lives on the other side of the house. I'm in a duplex. And I just get the feeling to move away from him.
Okay. Let me focus on it for a minute. I wanted to sit there and ask. I see that Shoni's still in the chat room. I want to see if she can call back.
She's having a hard time. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see if she'll come back on the show so we can actually give out the information about her friend. And can we get some donations coming in so we can actually help her out in the situation that she's in?
Mm-hmm.
I just want, but she has more of the information than I do. I'll give everybody else a chance to do that too, because I was just going to sit there and tell everybody, you want to give a call in here. We still got like 12 minutes left, and we got plenty of time. Yeah. So give us a call here at 646-721-9031. I also want to give a nice little howdy ho to our sponsor out there, Richard Palenga, who actually has a website called DivineBodyWash.com. Go check it out. It's a great product. And right now, for a $25 donation to the show, he'll give you a bottle of this body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he'll also throw in a bottle of body mist. They're really great products, a great thing. And when you do go and donate, we want to donate $5 of every donation that you give to the show to Shoni and her friend to help them through this medical crisis that she's going through, to make it a true, easy transition no matter which way it goes.
Mm.
So jump in there, do that whole thing. And then let's give us some information. Tell people, you want to get called me for a private reading, 740-500-8863. Dee, how can they reach you for your sessions as well and your jewelry, your fantastic jewelry?
Okay, well, first of all, call me at 207-374-5072 or email me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com, spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com for MSN, Fairy in the Moonlight, which is FAERY, at yahoo.com for Yahoo Messenger. And my jewelry, if you're interested, it's Dreamweaver Designs, but email me at my email address, SpiritWindTheMessenger, and I will send you some pictures so you can have an idea of what I do, and we can take it from there.
All right. And your question, because what was your question?
Mine?
Yes.
Okay. I have a neighbor. He lives on the other side of the house of me. And every once in a while, he'll make this really creepy appearance at my door. And yesterday he did. I was telling Dee about it. And this guy just insulted me for at least a good 40 minutes about everything. And I just got the feeling this morning that I would like to move away from him.
Mm-hmm.
My husband said, just ignore him. It just doesn't feel good.
husband's not as sensitive as you are.
Mm-mm.
That's true, too. But when you look at the situation, okay, everything has a voice. And it's when it does mm-hmm. have a voice, and if something resonates with you, you know, it's some people around you will say, well, just ignore it because they don't feel it. They don't see it as a problem or issue. But you have to sit there and also mm-hmm. own up on your own feelings about the situation. That's
yeah.
something that a solution is being presented to you that
mm-hmm.
you should definitely follow through with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you're not moving and all kind of stuff, right?
Mm. Say that again?
I said, do you want to move?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
remember, you told me he was moving, so.
Hey, no, he doesn't tell the truth. He's not, he's
right.
not being honest. He doesn't have the money to move.
His elevator doesn't go all the way to the top, huh?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right.
Anytime I see him, I just get this feeling of foreboding. And I'm a pretty happy person.
Right.
Hi,
no,
how are you?
I'm just saying with the situation. What I was going to say before Dee said anything was, I feel like the idea of moving is not something new. It's something that's been thought about before, and I
yeah.
feel like in some sense of the word, the idea of moving should have happened already.
A while back. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I agree.
So when we say look at the situation, we look at this guy. It's just. I've heard this before. Joyce Myers did this. Joyce Myers had a great story, okay? She
mm-hmm.
was, just before she took up doing her ministry, she said God
mm-hmm.
came to her and said, it's time for you to do your ministry. And she
mm-hmm.
said, and she basically said, no, I don't think I'm ready. So she stayed in St. Louis for another year. That whole
uh-huh.
freaking year, nothing but chaotic stuff happening. And then finally,
yep.
the year, all these bad things coming happening and stuff. And she said, God, what have I done wrong? And he goes, you haven't done nothing wrong. It's just that I told you a year ago it was time to go. And if you would have listened then, none of this stuff would be happening.
Okay.
So
I've been preparing my house for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Cleaning out cabinets, making sure that everything's all done, and you know what I mean, and just
uh-huh.
keeping it clean, keeping, you know, getting rid of clutter, old clothes, just anything like that.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So I must be ready. No, Dee, I'm not coming to your house to do it.
Do what?
Clean out the clutter. I'm a non-clutter bug person.
I didn't ask you to come to my house and clean out the clutter.
But if I was close enough to you, I would. Even my silverware drawers, I cleaned those out. I'm like, can't have this, can't have that. This has got to go, this has got to go.
Right. Hmm.
It brings, and you know what else it does, Joe? It opens up the door for more things to come in.
I just made a major move myself.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Melissa, do you do readings and stuff?
I have.
Hello?
Within my family.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Show
hello?
Me. Everybody say hello.
Hello?
Okay,
like
Melissa?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Things are going weird here.
Okay, Melissa said something as she was talking about doing readings and stuff, and then we kind of lost track of the whole thing. So what was she saying?
I have done it within my family. And my 17-year-old daughter and I had practiced with each other.
Okay. No, I was just curious. And also,
yeah.
I was noticing that Shoni's in the queue, and I want to bring her on real quick before we run out of time so everybody can get the information to... contribute and help her out, and she can give us the information. Shoni, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, if you give everybody out there listening, if you give them the information on how they can contact you guys. And you also said there was some kind of book or something?
Yeah, there's a book that they can order.
Okay, well, give them information on how to contact you for donations. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's Hope for Haley, Haley. And you'd recognize it by J. Allen Paul, Hope for Haley book.
Mm-hmm.
But J. Allen Paul is the author of the book. It is http://JA lanpaul.com/hopeforhaley.
And also, you can. And also, she's on my Facebook page too. So.
And that would be www.facebook.com/hopeforhaley 214-029-588-6771 or 7771.
That's okay. As long as we get the information out there to everybody. Also, I had this number.
Oops, nope, that's the wrong one, actually. Jeez, see that, how many there are? The first one's right, J. Allen Paul. But the second one is something else.
Mm-hmm. Also, do me a favor. Yes. Coach,
that would be wrong. Call. That's somebody with brain cancer.
Hey, do this way, too, sweetie. Why don't you just take the information and stick it in the chat room, too.
Yeah, I will do that.
And then... Actually, I was looking at the number for the day. I actually saw two of them. The first one was 322. This one here says, this is a strong message from the Ascended Masters urging you to keep the faith and thus experience faith, magical, magnetic power. Say that three times real fast. Which draws to you everything good that you desire. And also, it was kind of amazing when you start looking at these numbers with the 222s on the end of them. And the next one I saw was 922. Oh, my freaking head. Let's see. 922 was, it says, hold the faith about your divine mission in life. You are qualified to fulfill this mission and are supported in all ways. The more you trust and have faith, the better everything goes. So those are the numbers for the day. So take those with you and resonate with them. But the one thing I tell you is the ideal. Make sure you have balance in your life. There's a balance. We talk about giving and receiving. If you're a person who gives and gives and gives and gives, you've created an imbalance in your life. And if you're thinking that you're not getting what you deserve, it's because of that imbalance. So therefore, just to correct it, and to realize that giving and receiving are equally important. It's also the same thing. It's also telling people the same thing about structure and flow. Structure flow goes like this. Without one, the other one doesn't work. It's like, for example, use the river of life in the canoe. You're hitting down the river of life in your canoe. The canoe is structure. The water, the stream itself is flow. Do you see how they work together? Because one without the other, you're wet. Okay. So when you sit here and look at the situation, go, okay, waiting, that's fun, but it's a slow process. And when you got the canoe and you're sitting there and there's no water, you're not going anywhere. But when you have the both that work together, you're always going forward. It's just the idea of learning how to work both together, because you can still go down that river of life in that canoe. And you can also direct yourself in some sense of the word, too, by just, we call that intention. Intentional manifestation. Okay? You see a rock, you can intentionally go around it. You don't have to go over or crash into it. And it's amazing how people sit and go, I just crashed into this guy. And they're like, I don't know what happened. And then you find out later, they just blew a 2.2 on the freaking alcohol scale, okay? So there was a reason. That's like a harsh, that's like a, maybe one of the different ones, but I'm just saying, when we start looking at our lives, and we start looking at these things and start realizing they're there, if we don't do something about it, it never changes. But it's amazing how easy it changes the once we decide to actually go forward and start getting those balances in your life and start realizing that. Because actually, I had a lady on the show who said that. And he said, you need to learn to open up to receiving. And she goes, well, that's not spiritual. Yes, it is. Giving and receiving. When you give to somebody, they're giving back. And if you're not open to receive it, you might miss it. You are missing it. So we got 60 seconds left of the show. And I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you guys for calling in. And thank you for everybody out there listening. And thank you for all the support. And thank you for all the donations that have been given to the show and all the ones that are coming, and all the things that are going on there. So may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And please, we're going to get some more information out there so you can actually come back with Shoni, what's going on with that situation. If you want to help with that donation, if you want to donate to the show, please do so. With the product DivineBodyWash.com, check that out. Because, you know, for $25, it seems like it's a heck of a deal for the body wash. And for $35 or more, buying belts seems like it's a good thing, too. Plus, we're going to take $5 of each one of those donations, and we're going to get the show and what's going on here, too. So help us all out. And you all have a good day and good night and that kind of stuff. And if you guys have any more questions, we still keep recording afterwards.
And I got the links up on the chat room, too.
Okay. And plus, send me a freaking email through through my website or on here at Blog Talk Radio and give me the information, and I'll put it on the show page, and I'll put it on my website, too, so we can actually get some people getting in this thing, okay?
Right, I will, definitely.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Melissa,
thank you. I would love to. Thank you.
All righty. You know, come on the show. We'll actually sit down and exchange readings and stuff and give everybody an idea of some people like to hear this. And, yeah,
that'd be
so fun. We'll just sit down and do what we got to do.
See, are you giggling?
Who?
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Nope.
D.
Okay.
What?
I can hear D giggling.
Yeah,
yes, I was giggling.
Oh, Shoni, was that you that in the chat room that was afraid?
Oh, yeah.
What are you afraid of?
I'm not sure what I was afraid of. It was stopping me from hearing things, and then the car ad kept coming on.
Oh, you mean
it was
just basic chat room stuff? Okay.
Yep. It was like it was blocking me from hearing anything.
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh. Except for the car ad. I could hear that plain as day.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Well, this was really interesting. I had a good time. Way better than this morning. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, we were just trying.
I know why
morning.
You're laughing.
Well, we had the thing about
I was there.
Well, last night we were talking about Atlantis, and I was trying to get everybody to say, just to get different perception on Atlantis, and people were like, okay. And maybe we got a little deep on the whole subject, but it was just like trying to bring a different light to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe, like with Plato. Plato was a person, he was a writer. And,
mm-hmm.
he, you know, the ideal writers have a tendency to make things look more dramatic.
That's
so
okay.
We were thinking the idea of the Atlantis. Yeah, the Atlanteans being conquerors and all that kind of good thing, whatever. The Greeks were. Okay, and they said that they went for the Greeks, so they could. But if you really do the history about that time with the Greeks and that kind of stuff and the connection, I mean, he was saying Atlantis was like 11,000 years ago. And so you're asking yourself, how did the Greeks get in there?
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, so when you take the story itself and you trace it back, and the reason I was sort of doing it too because of just some of the insights I've had with going past life readings for people and actually connecting into this one woman who was actually a band of 6 or 7 Atlanteans who actually came to Egypt and basically was behind the ideal of the formation, because at that time they were tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideal, uniting those tribes together to actually create a civilization. There was a one person, one guy in the whole situation, but he also brought to the, he was also the one that started bringing these great, great designs or these great schemes of things of creating these things.
Mm.
You know? So when you start looking at those things.
What is your take on the Galactic Federation of Light?
How do I do the email thing real fast? Because I'm eating up my brother's minutes.
Fidian?
Huh?
Say that one more time.
I said I'm eating up my brother's minutes.
Okay, no problem.
And I need to know your, how do I get to your email thing?
Okay, the quickest way to do it is just, if you go on Blog Talk Radio, go to the show page.
That's where I've been, yeah.
Yeah, you just, all you got to do is you send an email through that. If you have problems with that, just send me an email to my email account, which is basically psychicxjourneyman@live.com.
Oh, do I just click on that thing that says your name?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, if you go on there and you push...
Just click him on.
Yeah, just in the chat room where it says www.psychicxjourneyman.com, just click on that. It takes you to my website.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, go to the contact page and just give me the information. Done. And I'll put it on the website, and I'll also put it on the show page.
I so found you.
Okay. What's that?
You have a wonderful rest of the day.
Oh, you too.
I found you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Nice to see you. Bye.
What was your question?
Talking about Atlantis, I can more relate to that. My question is, what is your feeling on the Galactic Federation of Light?
The Galactic? Good question. My opinion on the whole... Right. I don't really have an opinion about it because I really don't know about it. And it might be one of those things where I'm a part of something that I'm not. We might be involved in the same category, but actually, when you put it that way, when it comes to the first thing that popped in my head was Star Trek. Anyway,
I don't think so.
But if you sit and look at Star Trek and the true sense of what's going on there, there's no more money, no nothing. What they were saying was when this world found out that they're not the only one in the universe that had life on it,
mm-hmm.
they had a tendency to open up their minds more to the point of actually realizing how powerful they were and what they were collected of, which also mm-hmm. expands your mind to help you realize, because you're basically limited, because people use the term, the sky's the limit. The sky mm-hmm. is a void. There is no limit. It goes mm-hmm. on for infinity. It goes on forever. So when mm-hmm. you open that, when you take that one parameter off the whole thing, there is no limitations anymore. So your mind's wide open, and that's what Star Trek's all about. Next thing you know, technology is shot through the ceiling. They wasn't allowing things to stand away, like NASA. The reason NASA and our space program hasn't gotten as far ahead as it has because of cheap asses.
Mm-hmm.
They want to sit there. They give these contracts to the lowest bidder, you know, inferior products and that kind of stuff. That's why we have all these things. But if we sit there and took, like with medical bills and all this other stuff, what I'm saying is, I think that once you take the money equation out of it on certain things, then mm-hmm. corruption also goes with it because there's no tool to use to manipulate.
Of course,
you're giving service for service. I actually had this one lady, which I'm still kind of baffled by her statement, who said you should never trade service for service because you're actually creating an imbalance. And I'm like, but that's how it was in the beginning. And in the beginning, there was a great balance that we've actually kind of knocked around a little bit back and forth. You'll see parts in history where there's great balance.
Mm.
And then you'll see parts mm-hmm. where there's not. And that's when one part we have where people are working together. Mm-hmm. So I was telling my mom about this. My mom was like livid when I said brought the word up communism, and I said the mm-hmm. true sense of it's like we have this economic thing, right? We have mm-hmm. democracy, and I think democracy is so freaking fantastic. Not realizing that realistically, around the time of Jesus' death, the Roman Empire was a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you see how it worked? It didn't work.
I do,
but. But when you look at the situation, too, of certain equations and that kind of stuff that go along with that, we said this last night. I said, the only difference between now and Jesus' time is the slaves get paid and they get insurance. But people who work for themselves and self-employment and that kind of stuff are the whole thing. I just saw the thing I'm not too happy with. But again, I can see the potential
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
of realizing mm-hmm. that everything happens on the planet is an individual thing. That creates a chain reaction that affects a mass of people. So, you know, people think it's a mass that affects the individual. It's actually the individual that affects the masses. So, like in Star Trek, the reason, it's another one too, the Vulcans are so intellectual, and they think mm-hmm. that it's just so, But when you sit and look at their culture, too, you start seeing infractions, too, with having nothing but logic of always looking at things but also justifying your actions, even to the point of lying, of saying, I didn't lie. I just kind of, like, missed it for a minute, you know. It was just my perception. See, so it's like a whole thing. It works, but there's also things about it that kind of make you wonder. But when you look into the whole thing, they also have things within that culture because they've chosen that that also causes imbalances. And once, once they open up the possibilities of actually loving each other, you correct that. When you give a service for a, when you give a service for a service, it's not you're giving a service to a service. That person is giving you of themselves, and you give back in return. So it's actually an exchange of love. It's not an exchange of service. It's, you know, so when you exchange that love, it's almost like your phone line. That phone line is not really the communication. It's what goes through the phone line. Okay, so we have the love, and then what comes through that love, it's just the difference between a phone line and love is love enhances everything that comes through the line.
Yeah.
Phone line just like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know?
My husband always has done that. Exchanged what he does for work with other people for different things, and it doesn't always have to involve money.
But I just thought, when I first heard that from that person, I just thought that what she was trying to do was she's trying to funnel everything into cash.
Right, right.
She even used his
service to give somebody as a wedding gift.
And so now she's focusing on, and realistically, why was she putting up with that kind of concept? I think she has some fears of her own she needs to deal with and face. And
exactly.
I get crazy. Yeah. The one thing about the metaphysical community should do is we should freaking really work on ourselves, so therefore we don't just say it, we also reflect it.
I agree, and I see a lot of people not... they're not showing what they're saying.
Yeah, like when we started talking the other day, so are you manifesting because of what the world tells you you need? Are you focusing on your wants, needs, and desires? Because if you're sitting, because I was sitting here talking about when we had the newspaper, when I'm talking about the magazine, and the first thing I came across was, first of all, why are people angry? Why are people even saying anything in the first place? What's the motivation?
Yeah.
The only thing I could come up with was there is none except for the fear itself. Because my friend came on there, she goes, what possessed you to put those pictures on your Facebook? And I said, let's take a step back and say, you're right, my Facebook. Yes, I have dust free stuff on there to promote that magazine and to promote my column.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not her Facebook. I took the liberty
it's
of
putting
her on there, okay?
But that's what's
going
on.
Yeah.
That is
so you said, okay, you're associated with this magazine. Of course I'm associated with the magazine. But I'm also talking about spiritual insights to relationships, which is reflecting very clearly here on the relationships that we're getting here, where it's like, I think the people looking at the people going, okay, just don't look at the situation of them as if their actions are right or wrong. It's hoping that we can say something to point out to them to show them that they're feeding into fear, which contradicts what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people have better relationships and all kinds of stuff. And people are like, well, what are people going to think? Well, first of all, let's keep doing our work. So, therefore, anything that comes across as their thinking will be overshadowed by something positive. So they'll realize there's nothing there that really takes any kind of energy to put into it as bad. That's what they're doing. They're looking at it and going, okay, okay, I'll give you this. The two pictures that was on there, one picture, she's kind of a provocative picture, but she definitely has all her clothes on. On the other one, and these pictures were also taken by a professional photographer, so they weren't pictures that she took of herself, and they were very tastefully done, because one thing she's totally nude, but it's all from the side, and nothing's exposed. It's just basically going to it. It's like going to an art class.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing the human form. It's a sensual. It's a very sensual picture. And it was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. She sent the first one to me, and she goes, "I think this picture here is a very, very spiritual picture." I'm sitting there going, "But your clothes are falling off." And I guess we could sit there and say what she's doing is she's shedding that outer world in favor of spirituality. Mm-hmm. And people are like, "I said, see, you can take anything and trace it to a positive outcome if you try.
Of course you can.
So, you can make anything be anything you want it to be. You can look at that picture and see something beautiful in it, sensual, spiritual, whatever. You can also make it into something smutty if that's where your mind is at. If that's where your mental set is, you're going to see it as smut. You're not going to see it for what it really is.
I think so many people need to mind their own business.
Oh, bingo.
Yeah,
they certainly do.
Because people were sitting there going, they was asking me and said, "What, did someone put any comments on your Facebook?" And I said, "That's the one thing they didn't. They no one put a comment there. They all went to her." And I'm like, you know something? I work for that. I volunteer to write that column for that magazine. And she gives me advertising. Don't get me wrong. And I also pay for advertising in that magazine. You know, so I can look at the situation and say, you know something? Maybe I should just pull out the whole freaking thing myself. I said, I've already invested. I have a page on there completely for my show. I have a page on there for my services. And I pay for those things. And there's one part that she gives me because of the column that I write. But this thing about that, too, I try to put as much as I can in those columns and try to give as much as I can to everybody. So basically it's exchange of services. And then we have exchange of cash, too, as well. I had no problem paying the fees and stuff just like anybody else does. So I think that I should also have a voice and say, you know, some comments, you're going to get that. If you're going to sit there and continue to do this kind of work, you're going to get people who are not going to agree with every freaking thing you do. And if you're going to get caught up in the syndrome of trying to please everybody, you're going to go nuts. Why do I know that? Because I've been there.
Me too.
The only person you... Yeah, so look at the situation and go, okay, how does this resonate with you? I think I did a good thing. I took the pictures off my website because I felt like I took them off the Facebook and said, you know something? I told April, I said, don't worry about it. If you go on my psychic x-ray, man, you'll see exactly who I'm in a relationship with. I'm not taking that picture off. And it's a very good picture. She's actually sitting there. She's got like one of those little, you know, real thin strapped tops. It's a very sexual top.
Oh, sorry, I'm asking my doggy.
She also has a wand in her hand with quartz crystals.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there going, you know, guys, I take them off, but I put them on my computer. That's what I told her. I said, don't worry about it. I have the real thing. I don't need the pictures.
Yeah.
And you don't need to take them off just because people are making a flock either.
No.
No,
you don't have to do that. You don't have to kowtow and bow to and scrape to, you know, yes, sir, master.
Did you still hear me last night? Was you here last night, Dee, on that one lady? There was a lady who made a comment in the chat room who said, you know, if you have slutty clients, then leave them there. If you don't and you have a different clientele, you should take them off. And I'm sitting there going,
what?
Yeah,
that
you
makes
know,
sense.
Yeah, you know who
I missed.
And what was so funny about it was, she's actually a client. She's a client of mine, a very well-to-do client, if I might ask. They were talking. We've done readings with her before, and she's talking about transfer and actually getting the money she deserves to a corporation, her husband, all kind of stuff. We're talking over $100,000s.
Right.
So my clientele, come on, my clientele are very well-to-do people and. They go across the realm on all kinds of walks of life.
That's
but I don't sit there.
Really?
I don't get any idea of their personal life.
What is it that Dr. Seuss said? Those who matter don't mind, and those that mind don't matter? Or those who matter?
It's a simple case of mind over matter. I don't mind, and you don't matter.
It's so like. Mind your own business, and the hypocritical thing. This is waiting to come out of my mouth. I see somebody that's become quite popular with their views, and I'm not going to use any names because I don't think I need to. And this person wants to create a spiritual family, and the family that they have at home, they're not loving.
Oh, wow.
And... How can you, and that's a turnoff to me to be involved with somebody that isn't loving what's already there. It came out of my mouth, Dee.
Yeah, I know. I think you're talking about, Mister. Mm-hmm. We're going down the road blind. We closed our eyes.
Yeah, I picked right up on that immediately, and I told you that it was like. I could feel.
I know that's why my friend Mark in Maine said, "Remind me not, Dee wanted to stay away from that stretch of road."
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, "No, it's in New Hampshire."
Yeah, but it's almost vehement.
Yeah.
I can hear it. And it
that was crazy.
Yeah, it's really weird.
I don't know.
Really weird, but people, it's hypocrisy.
Guys, to each their own. I mean, maybe it's crazy, maybe it's not crazy. Maybe you'll crash into somebody, maybe you won't, but the best thing to do in that situation is realize he is who he is and either associate or don't associate. But
you got it.
I don't think we should sit there and try to get him to change because it seems unorthodox to us because it's different perception.
Of course. I agree.
Oh, what a lovely word, unorthodox. He's Jewish.
Dee.
Okay.
What?
So we're not going to airmail any hams, right? That's not going to happen.
Oh, it's like Donnie says, he is what he is. We can't, you can't. It's like they say, that old expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
Exactly.
In this case, I almost think it's a horse's ass, but,
we're also talking about the same thing, too. Like, you have a girl who basically thinks she has to have sex and all kinds of things with everybody. Some people call her a slut. I just said, look at a person who's trying to find some worth in other things when she should be looking within herself. Hopefully one day she'll see that realization.
Yeah, it's a validation of I'm lovable. Somebody finds me desirable. And it's like, okay.
I had a friend like that who sat there and thought she had to give a guy a blowjob to get a job. And I told her, I said,
I accept that.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, suffer. She said, what do you mean? I said, I thought that's what guys wanted. I said, do one thing. Why don't you start focusing on what you want and what you think is what would you really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
If you walk into a situation, you're very qualified for that job, and this guy who sits and does that, it's just you're not getting anything out of it except not even a job. Because I remember that too. Because she did what she did, and then she didn't even get the job.
I am Peter.
Yeah, that's pretty different. But it's a
you have your two
hands
to put in, Kat.
It's a belief.
No,
it's all it is.
People's perceptions when they feed into their fears makes them do all kinds of things. And they have to face up to those things. And after one day, they'll sort of realize what they're doing is feeding into something that doesn't even exist. I mean, I've had people, when we talk about past lives, the reason past life work is really good for people, it makes them realize that life doesn't exist anymore, so therefore, why do I hang on to this thing this fear? Why do I keep hanging on to that? Then they realize it. They realize where it comes from. They realize there's no basis for it, and it's easy for them to let go of it. Like the woman I was telling you about.
I don't know. I do know. I was telling Dee, I was about 4 or 5 years old. It was before I began first grade. And I don't know what I was doing. I was either playing or coloring. And I had this thought come into my head, and it was, I will never die. Inside.
Mm-hmm.
I knew then. I didn't remember, but I knew. I know it's not, you'll understand what I'm going to say. I knew that I was a soul. And that soul would never cease to be, even at that little age.
Ouch, Kat.
And then that went away, and then it came back, a few years ago that was the way that it was. But I remember having that feeling before the veil had set in, I guess. So I understand all that. I understand it, but I guess I've just never wanted to delve into it. In this lifetime, I've just never really thought, who was I? Because I wonder if we fly right back in here very quickly.
Some of us do, some of us don't.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and I think every lifetime is different. We could go for long stretches between lives, or we can go poof from one to the next. I think it varies with every lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's no time on the other, in the other, in spirit. There's no time. So how do we?
Well, certainly not like our time.
No.
Yeah, you said you leave the earth and you come back and you're thinking 5 minutes and it's been 100 years.
Right, right. That's
no big deal.
Finally, somebody could understand. Okay, I got it out.
What?
I got it out. Somebody understood. Okay, that it could be 5 minutes. It would be 500 years here.
Right.
I know it's quick. I know it's quick.
Well, that's what I was saying. I feel like that one particular woman, when she went to past life, there was certain things that she used to do to survive, and she feel like when she came to this lifetime, she felt like she had to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
Something there's some things going on. I actually went over a theory about the situation about past lives too, and saying, you know something, it's amazing how our brain is detailed to almost a large percentage of it is for memory.
Mm-hmm.
And you start thinking about the situation, why? What do we have to hang on to? And I think it's the idea of retaining memories from those past lives or those spiritual enlightenments or situations or even things that we still got to continue to do.
Mm.
So it's, you know, to look at people going to spiritual awakening is a constant perception, and it's also a constant of something that's constantly evolving, not just this lifetime, but many lifetimes. So therefore, it makes perfect sense. And like you were talking about past lives, I ran into some lady that we've had past lives together, like 11, 12 past lives together. But it was just the idea of two friends getting together and reminiscing.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looked at me and she was leaving. And then she looked at me and she was leaving. She kissed me on the cheek and she said, "As always, it's great to see you." And she left. Never saw her again. It wasn't something that I felt like had to be completed. It was just something that two friends coming across each other in this lifetime, like we've always done.
And they remembered for a second.
Yeah, you should have seen this. Because she was going. She came to my shop and she just this guy that she was with. That was their first date. And me and her sit down to do a reading with them too, right?
Uh-huh.
To get some insights and get some insights to their relationship. And me and her just started talking. Remember when we was in Egypt and we did this? Remember this, when we was in Egypt and you killed those guys with those little potions you used to give them? And she was like, "Yeah, but they deserved it." And, you know, and we were sitting and talking about things where a guy would hurt her, and she would say, the guy would get another girlfriend, and she would say, "Hey," she was a high priestess, and she goes, "I will give you these little potions, and this will make you last longer with your girlfriend." What it was actually poison. He did die with a smile on his face, I'll give you that. But it was just her thing about men.
Mm.
But it was also something she needed to look at, too. And I said, you need to let go of that. And so you have a good relationship with guys and just let it unfold naturally. Be fine. Be great. And then she goes, okay. And then she looks at me and she goes, "I always find you when I fall off the path." And I said, "Yeah, but you never." And I looked at her and said, "But you never listen." And she goes, "Well, it's good to see you."
Oh, jeez.
And these are the conversations we were having. So I was sitting there going, that freaking conversation running to that one person changed my perception on the whole thing because it was just so spontaneous and so flowish that you couldn't dispute it and say, okay. But what we learned, I think I learned one thing. Maybe it was just for me to reopen my mind again to past lives and stuff to see it from a different way. Because I've actually been in, when I sit here and I see myself if I get a little too arrogant or something about certain situations like abusive women and that kind of stuff. It seems like I'm always hurled into situations to see it from another point of view. Opens my mind up so I can see it again. Like with abusive relationships, I got into a relationship with somebody who was abusive to me. And it was kind of funny how to see those things, how they escalate so quickly where it can bring, her violence can also bring violence out of me.
Exactly.
Like attract like. So it was the idea of seeing both sides of the parameter, but I think it was good because I see my side of
it. You made me think, I had been confused about a whole lot of things, so I would sit and listen to Esther and Jerry Hicks, and he talked about he'd never hit a woman, never wanted to, never had that feeling, but he lived with this woman before he got married to her, and he said that all she did was complain about the men that she'd been with before that had abused her.
Uh-huh.
He said, by the end of the relationship, I wanted to hurt her, and I'd never felt that way about anybody. And he was talking about her pattern in him being the co-creator, he said, of course I didn't hit her, I left, or had her leave. Of being, you know, do you get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Co-creation.
No, I understand completely, because that's exactly the situation I was in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before that time, all she talked about was all these guys that did things to her.
Uh-huh.
She was talking about her biggest fear that I was going to turn into one of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turned around, and I felt like what she was trying to do is trying to prove herself right.
Exactly.
And also
fight
about it. And she was also from her mother and all these other people doing the same thing, and they used to use statistics. 97% of these sit there and looked at me and said, 97% of men who are abusive cannot change. And I said, doesn't matter. I'm not the 97%. So she goes, oh, so you're saying you're 3%?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there going, that's exactly what I'm saying. I'm in the 3%. I said, but what would you do this? Why don't you guys go focusing on the 97% as an abusive man who can't be changed and change the 3% into the 97% who can?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe people cannot change. I believe it's more than
I believe they can.
Yeah, if you shouldn't keep looking at people and say, hey, if you tell an abusive man he can never change, he's going to believe you because he's already had a tough time with himself in the first place. But if
of
you
course.
Come back and sit there and look at, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just tell people flat. You want to get the insights on the whole thing? I can't remember the lady's name. I think it was Suzanne something. She has two books that I can remember off the top of my head. She has a series of them. But the one that I read the most was 10 Stupid Things Women Do to Mess Up Their Lives. And then the other one, 10 Stupid Things Men Do to Mess Up Their Lives. I read those books.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make you so mad because they're so true.
Yeah.
It talks about abusive women who said they've been abused and what they do. And they have a tendency to try to prove their point with whoever they're with, to try to push them into a situation, not realizing that when you take an animal, it could be the most domesticated animal in the world, and you corner that animal, it's going to react in an unfavorable way. And that's what they're trying to sit down with some of these women and say, when you push somebody, they're going to react in an unfavorable way, which you're going to justify as being abusive.
And then you say, wait a minute, I was right about you. I was right about you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what most people want. What do you think? The validation that this is, I'm right.
Yeah, because the girlfriend I had freaked out because what I would do is I'd lock myself in the office.
Mm-hmm.
I would separate myself from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would sit there and take it one step further, trying to get in that door.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to prove a point. I sit there and one night she sat there and she goes, I know my dog's up there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your dog is not up here. I guarantee you the way that dog is, that dog would not be up here. And she goes, I guarantee if that dog was up here, it'd be over my freaking leg. That dog would love me. Anyway, what she did was, she hated people to violate her space. But one thing she never had a problem with
violating somebody else.
In your space or anybody else's.
So what she did was, she took the door off the hinges.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me like, she goes, what's wrong? I said, you know, I've had a thing with anger. I did the anger management things. I know what to do. I know what you got to do. And I said, I'm doing them. And then I separate myself from the situation, and you sit there, take it from that point on. And then it was one day we got into an argument. She and I was trying to finish a conversation. I was trying to finish a statement, and she came walking out. I don't want to hear it. And I said, well, just let me finish this statement, and it'll let go. So I followed her down to the bathroom, and all of a sudden she just turned around, grabbed my freaking hair, and started beating the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and then she looked at me, and she goes, I said, what'd you do that for? And she said, because you violated my space. And I said, you know, that's what abusive man says.
Mm.
And she kind of looked at me like, but I'm not a man, so I was justified. And she said,
get
over it. Yeah, she said, get over it.
I know what you said. I know that I'm working through some stuff. I grew up in an abusive home. I'm not going to get into any of the whole spiel. But I see myself at times creating it in my marriage. It's very quick. They're blurbs. It ends really fast, but I can almost see it's like, treat me the way I used to be treated. Make it seem okay. Make it seem normal. And he won't do it. He's the non-reactor. Yeah, he's the non-reactor, so he just sort of gets quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Or leaves or whatever. But I know what I do. You just woke me up to that. Thank you for that.
And what I was trying to tell her was, I tell people all the time, if you feel like you should go through something, you should follow through. I felt like if I would have called the cops in and followed through with it, and it might have showed her that she's thinking the law says it's just one-sided. An assault is when you assault a woman. She doesn't realize if you read the law, it says when one human assaults another human, it's an assault. It's
Michael, I'm right here. My son is here.
So I got to go to, I got to go check the apartment at 2:30. It's 1:30.
You're whistling. Okay. The whirlwind has come home. So
okay,
thank you for everybody's time. Nice to talk to you. Okay. Bye. Bye, Dean.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, call me, Melissa, when you can.
I will.
All right,
okay.
Guys. We'll see you later. You guys have a good day.
All righty. Bye.
Bye-bye now. Oh, that was not good.